This is PFW in Progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man!
Yeah, but tell me, so what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window! What's the charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yes. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned Capricorn. Tell him that I'm going to the clinic today, and I find out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Just a man who wrecked the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning.
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe. You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in Progress.
Had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
Gary Golak, what's up, brother? That supple should be there by 12:30. Call Papagino's and directed it to you and your name at Radio Ops down underneath. So hopefully they delivered there and know how to get it down there. But keep an eye out for that. Your name, Bill to you. No, I'm kidding. I stole my credit card. All right, dude. Enjoy. Hopefully it'll say something nice about me. All right, see ya.
We had plenty of nice things to say about Scott Zolak last Thursday. Matter of fact, Andy, it was just 1 week ago today that Scott Zolak surprised us with a healthy food order from Papagino's. And now,
becoming, by the way, our favorite quarterback
Zolak
in Patriots
our
history.
Our favorite quarterback, our favorite listener, our favorite
sports talk radio host, pregame
sure.
host, and everything.
No, now just a scant 1 week later, we're looking for our favorite emailer or caller, listener, anything. Who might want to make this a weekly event.
Send an order to Gillette Stadium, the Radio Ops Department.
Radio Ops. You can get Gary at Radio
Gary
Ops.
Gary Gerdecki, his name. Bill it to Gary Gerdecki and then make yourself laugh by saying that, as Zolak did.
So that is the
Chicken
start.
Chicken Parm sub would be a preference if anyone's listening.
Sure, always. Always a preference.
But steak and cheese with pickles also gets the job done.
As you can tell by the lunacy going
Screw
on
you,
here.
Screw you, Gary.
Pickles.
Yes, I like pickles.
Steak and cheese with pickles?
I thought if anybody else liked pickles, it was you.
Oh.
I always catch you sniffing them.
Andy.
Very funny, you get it.
Andy.
Sorry. Two minutes in and the show has degenerated into...
You really have. You really have degenerated. But as you can tell by the inane banter, PFW in Progress is well underway here. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo will be with you for the first hour. We'll be with you for the first hour, as is our normal Thursday custom. Fred and Tom will be down. Tom, you know, the president. Everybody wants Casale for president.
I thought it was a different office yesterday.
Oh, really?
What do they have in Canada?
Prime Minister?
Yeah, it was Tom for Prime Minister yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway,
I'd
Tom...
I'd be happy to ship him to Canada.
I was going to say, as I'm wont to say on this show, I'll be happy to drive him to the airport.
Heck, I'll drive him to the border.
And Fred will be with us at 1 p.m. Eastern, at which time we will grace you with our thoughts about the conference championship games. Obviously, we'll have plenty of thoughts about the AFC championship game in the first hour as well. But webradio at patriots.com is the way you can join in on our conversation. Webradio at patriots.com. A couple of interesting items, not necessarily Patriots-related, Andy, but I'm not sure if the Marty Schottenheimer news was... made official yesterday. Mildly surprising that the Chargers decided to hold on to him. Mildly surprising, I thought, that he decided to turn down an extension. $4.5 million extension at that.
Must be nice to turn down that kind of money.
So, you know, what else? League-wide.
Oh, league-wide. I don't know. Interesting press conference today. Lots of talk about the Baltimore Colts.
We'll get to that.
Bill's history and all kinds of random thoughts as he went through the endless lineup of his favorite Baltimore Colts.
Wow. A lot of emails in here from overnight, by the way. Going to have to get rid of some of these.
We're big on... Well, make sure you read them. They might be good.
Well, we'll just wouldn't have any time.
Skim them.
Can't do it.
You got any from the Irish drunks?
I'm sure.
I'm going on the assault today. I'm sure not waiting for them to come to me.
I'm sure that you're...
My big head is telling me to assault them early and often.
Making friends as usual.
I'm big in Ireland.
What else? I mean, anything else? I was trying to think of some league-wide stuff. A little surprising that Pittsburgh's coaching situation hasn't been resolved as of yet.
No.
You know,
they're clearly not the type of organization to jump into coaches, seeing as they expect them to be with you for like 15 years or more.
Well, they did. You know, I think most people thought that Russ Grimm was the next logical candidate. Now it looks like the guy from Minnesota there, Tomlin, might be kind of
the latest.
Yeah, that might be kind of eking his way into the picture. Without knowing really anything about Tomlin, I think is his name. Without really knowing a whole lot about him, other than the fact that he is the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, and that was the worst scheme I've ever seen in my life, I just don't see really where he makes head coaching timber.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I mean, based on that unit...
We've fallen in that trap before.
No, that's true. You make a very good point there. Ron Rivera, is he going to get a job this time around, or is he going to fall victim to the late playoff run that seems to happen?
Looking like he might fall victim to be playing too long and doing too good a job with your unit.
Just leave my unit alone. Anyway, Brian Billick signed an extension through 2008.
Yes, I did see that. I did see that. Coming off the best season in franchise history, 13-3, although they did not win the Super Bowl, which would probably qualify as the best season
or a playoff game,
history.
Period.
But the Grimm thing, the last I saw that he had a long, long interview, and they believed they were discussing contract specifics. So that's why I was a little surprised to hear you say the Tomlin thing. I didn't.
No, I had. All
in Miami. Oh, Miami. Apparently, Chan Gailey told key recruits that he expected his status with the school and/or the Dolphins to be decided by around Thursday. So, some people are pointing to today as a potential decision for the Dolphins. Some of the things I read: Mike Shula is a candidate for a job with them, but people are thinking maybe as offensive coordinator for whoever they hire as coach. Chan Gailey's one. Dom Capers is still in it. Jim Mora Jr.
They might
still
actually
in
make
it.
Dom Capers the head coach.
They say he's still the candidate. He hasn't signed his lucrative assistant extension, but they said he's still in the discussion as one of the finalists as a head coach. The Mora thing. There were reports earlier in the week that he had in fact been offered the job, but hasn't been much more about that. There's some speculation that he kind of wants to sit back and just collect his paycheck for a year from the Falcons. But, yeah, according to Chan Gailey, or at least what he was telling some prized recruits, that he expected it to come together as of today, possibly.
Yeah, and evidently, some of that stuff with the Capers, I think that's kind of an interesting situation in Miami. Because how many times do you see the assistants kind of in place, not only in place, but established?
Never, and it certainly flies into the face of everything Pete Carroll said when talking about that job, in that it was the type of job he would consider because Wayne Huizenga has done a great job setting it up so the head coach has all the power, all the control, can do everything he wants, and then a couple days later he's signing a defensive coordinator, assistant head coach to a lucrative extension. So it does sound a little strange.
All right, so obviously there's a lot going on in the league, you know, at this time of year because there are only four teams that are still playing. So, you know, obviously 28 others are already begun the process of, you know, planning for 2007. But more importantly, around here, it's all AFC Championship game. It's the Colts. Andy alluded to it earlier. You know, some interesting moments at the press conference again today with Bill talking a lot about his time in Baltimore. His feelings. He grew up, obviously, a Colts fan in Baltimore. And, you know, he was asked some questions about his feelings when the Colts made the move, Andy. Did you find that, some of the stories you told? You know, we all kind of really couldn't figure out exactly what the point of his story, but he told a long story about the end of his first year there.
That caught on like bell-bottom pants.
about the end of his first year there when he was wondering about whether or not he was going to be back the next year and trying to get money. And, you know, the general manager at the time, Joe Thomas, was talking to him when he should have been talking to people, a subcommittee on building a new stadium for the Colts. And he felt that that was, I don't know, the way I looked at it, he was kind of indicating that there was signs there that there was some discord on both parties. And
did Baltimore Memorial Stadium, their Memorial Stadium, did that, is that where the Orioles played up until Camden Yards?
Yes. It was not a very good place.
Well, I was just thinking, if the football team wanted a new stadium in 75, and the Orioles are still playing there in the early 90s,
yep.
92 or whatever,
something like that.
There, that's interesting. Couldn't have been a very nice place. Wonder whatever happened to that cinder block closet that Bill learned everything he knows about football.
It's been demolished, but...
No, I mean for the next 17 years
who
before
ended
they
up,
knocked it down.
Yeah, who ended up
Why did I just
there?
Get louder?
Yeah. Gary, something happened there?
Yeah, he did his job.
In other words, we weren't on the first part of that?
In other words, he was getting emails. Why are they whispering?
All right. Well, in terms of the game itself, there wasn't a whole
lot. Paul's hosting like Dan Patrick today.
Well, I'm trying to...
he says a sentence, then there's dead air as he formulates the next
thought. I could do the Dan Patrick pretty well, but anyway.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Rome.
Meanwhile, I'm checking my radio to see if this... Is this thing on?
Let's go to... I think we should just go to the emails, because for the most part, it was a lot of the same today as it's been. A lot of compliments for the Colts. One change was that we expected a lot of players to be available via the podium today. Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi, Ty Warren. Turns out none of those players were available. Most of those players weren't available in the locker room either. Now, there were some reports that Ty Warren was excused yesterday to deal with a family matter.
Yes.
So that obviously explains him.
Troy
I guess
Brown's
Troy Brown's
sick.
Battling the flu, which is kind of running around a little bit in that locker room, which is not a good sign.
Yeah, they've been through this before. I saw those bottles of Pedialyte out on their trip to Jacksonville. They had illness that year, so
yep.
They've battled this before. They know what to do. They get the Pedialytes out and they get the fluids pumping. And
all right, well, at the end of the show yesterday, you guys were talking about the national media and people that were picking against the Patriots, and obviously there were more people willing to do that than we were all given credit for.
Correct.
Before. However, it's my contention that come Sunday, you will not be finding very many people on record taking the Colts.
Ron Borges is on record taking the Colts.
Yes, I heard that.
Despite some seemingly flawed logic that we tried to pry out of him for 15 minutes in the locker
couldn't
room.
Couldn't do it. PJ Naccarelli, our Tom and I's Paisano friend, is first up. He says he was listening to the podcast yesterday, heard us talking that everyone is picking the Patriots. At the beginning of the week, I agreed that everyone would pick the Pats, but as I listened to the radio and looked online, I'm having trouble finding anyone who is picking the Patriots. Here is who I heard on the radio or have seen online, and they have all picked the Colts. Len Pasquarelli from ESPN.com, Michael Wilbon from PTI, Chris Carter on Sirius Radio, Ron Jaworski from ESPN. I heard him on 660 in New York. Greg Cosell from NFL Films, Adam Kaplan of ProFootballInjuries.com. I don't really care what the guy who talks about injuries is. Bill Polian from the press box at the Dome. That's very funny. Jaws and Cosell are predicting a blowout. Anyway, I can't believe that so many people are picking against the Pats. I think it is an even matchup, and in an even matchup, I tried to go with the quarterback who was 12-1 career in playoff games. Also, Colin Cowherd on ESPN Radio was talking about Tom Brady yesterday. He said that if Brady and the Pats win this Super Bowl, he has to rank him right up there next to or above Joe Montana. He
yes.
knows that the defenses aren't as good as they were when Joe played, but he also brought up the point that Brady has way less talent to work with on offense. Sounds like an interesting discussion. I am on the fence on this issue, but two more Super Bowls and Brady is in a class of his own. Later, fellas, is there a show this Friday? Yes, there will be. That'll be the Fred and Tom show as normal on Friday with a sprinkle of Michael Felger's ESPN Radio commitments. His Patriots Friday show on ESPN Radio, correct?
Yes.
Are you going to participate in this at all, or are you just going to make fun of me for pausing?
I was
Dan
acting
Patrick?
Like you. Another national correspondent I know who picked the Patriots on the Afternoon Rumble with Tom McManus on ESPN Radio Jacksonville was Patriots Football Weekly's Andy Hart, and he agreed with me. Tom McManus, who apparently according to Paul, is a former linebacker for the Boston College Eagles and Jacksonville Jaguars, I guess.
Yes.
Well, he has a radio show down there, and he is picking the Patriots.
Okay. There you go. Next one is Sawyer's wife from Waterloo, Iowa.
Uh-oh.
Says, hey, guys, just wanted to let you know that you were wrong. Just found out what I got for Valentine's Day, and I think we both had a pretty good night. See you Sunday, Elizabeth.
That sounds dirty.
A little bit. And the fact that my wife's
name
is Elizabeth kind of makes me a little worried about that. Spelled differently, though. Wow.
Wow. That's interesting. That, he really made out in that.
The lovely so Elizabeth.
Gift, clearly. Oh, yeah, the lovely Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
That gift is clearly for himself on some level.
No question.
Some level.
Well, he says, but Elizabeth says we're wrong.
So he got another gift later that night from his wife. That's he had a good day for himself there.
Good for him. Good for him. Murray is next up in Nova
Scotia.
When
I bought Deidre a surround sound entertainment system one year, didn't work out quite as well for me.
Oh, yeah?
How'd the vacuum go over?
I told you, I got what she wanted. I got some other stuff, too, though. The camera went over very well, Gary. Big hit on the camera. I didn't get the exact one that you were talking about, but anyway. We'll save that for the next year playoff run. Murray is next up. He says, loves the show, though I hate to hear it late. I listen to it via podcast on the way to and from work and at the gym. Anyway, quick question. Since you guys know the Pats a lot better than we fans do, well, obviously we don't because we're wrong with our picks every week. Can you tell us if they're dwelling on this LT Merriman San Diego thing as much as we fans are? I hope not, because as much as I loathe Darth Poli and Grungy Dungy, pay me a ton. Oh, I see what he did there. And all of the rest, this Colts team definitely should not be taken lightly, because no NFL team should be taken lightly. Just ask the 0-1 Pats. P.S. Paul is my hero. He saved my life and Nam jumped on some bad rice for me. I don't quite understand that. Keep it frosty, guys.
You were laughing, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
I don't think they're dwelling on this at all, Andy. The only one really even talking about it is Ellis Hobbs. Am I right or am I wrong about that? I mean, Brady addressed
Rosie addressed it a little. Brady addressed it a little.
I found it somewhat interesting that both Ty Warren and Tom Brady, at the very least, went on record as to saying that he felt like the Patriots went a little bit over the line. Didn't you find that a little bit interesting?
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess it is to some level, but they're team leaders. I would expect them to handle themselves in a certain way. And, you know, maybe looking at it, they saw some things that, while acceptable, because I think that's what it was. I think the reaction was not above the realm of normal. I don't think it was like this ridiculous, all-encompassing, offensive. Now, maybe it was a step beneath class or however what you want to deem it, but right. They saw some things probably that they weren't necessarily in favor of. They wouldn't do themselves, so I think they acknowledged that yesterday, while at the same time saying it is what it is. It's an emotional game. We're moving on. I do not think anyone's dwelling on it.
No, I don't think it'll be an issue at all in this game. And,
except LT.
And after the Patriots win this game, I'm going to bet that you're going to see an overly subdued on-field celebration, and then they'll go wild in the locker room. I'm going to bet they're going to go out of their way.
Well, but see, it's also... I mean,
they're going to have excitement, don't get
me
wrong. There's going to be a lot of smiles, a lot of high fives and hugs.
What can they do this week?
I don't think they're going to be on the Colts logo in the middle of the field doing any kind of dances.
I think they might. There's no way to mock the Colts because I can't think of a Colts dance, so I don't think you even have the scenario in place. I don't think the guy is there. Do the Colts? Do any of their guys have like these?
Well, I think the whole thing was a little blown up. I don't really understand LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, I love the guy. I think he's a tremendous player, and from all the accounts that I've heard about him, I think he's a pretty good guy off the field too. I don't agree with him on this. I think that he is whining a little bit too much, and I don't think there's any way you can lose a game like this, make comments like that, without sounding like a little bit of a baby in sour grapes. I don't necessarily condone everything the Patriots did, and we talked about that earlier in the week, but I think that LT would do well to just kind of let it go. And I think the Patriots have let it go. I agree with Andy on that wholeheartedly. Craig is in Boxborough. He's next up. You like this. Hello, A-Team and Fred. I was checking out Yahoo.com sports section, and I was a bit surprised when I saw the Patriots-Colts preview done by Chris Carter. I actually found aspects of it a bit insulting to the Patriots. First off, he gave the Colts the edge on offense, no surprise there. But he says what makes them dangerous is the combination of Rhodes and Adai. On defense, he gave the Colts the advantage, probably because of their playoff surge against average offenses. Is this man kidding? Let's not forget the regular season performance of the Colts defense. He gives the edge on special teams for the Colts because of Vinatieri. Again, not surprising. Here is the real kicker. He calls the coaching matchup a toss-up. I was floored by that. Casale was keeping track of people who have come out and picked the Colts, like Carter did. Here's the link. So he sent that to Tom. P.S. When does the Neckin show end?
The Tuesday after the last Patriots game.
Yeah, so. we will be on, but you know, win or even if they lose on Sunday, we'll be on Tuesday.
Right. And they're very exciting to watch.
That would be the last show.
Indeed.
If not, we'll continue through the Super Bowl.
We are exciting to watch, although more and more we're being told we need a tan or some makeup.
Someone else tell you that this
yes.
week?
Wow. Yes. Wow. Seems to be the general consensus. We either need to hit the tanning bed or get a makeup person.
No, I'm not going to be hitting the tanning bed. Well, I need a little makeup, I guess.
But we don't really have makeup, so.
What are you going to do?
I'm not going to start carrying my own makeup and doing my own makeup. And that station doesn't provide us with makeup.
Okay, Renee is in Clayton, North Carolina. I believe that's a new emailer here. Renee in Clayton, North Carolina?
Recently new.
Okay. I am, for the record, a girl and a big Tom Casale fan. See, I do listen to what you say. I changed the I to an E. Evidently, she spelled Tom Casale wrong at some point. But sorry, Tom, I am not 18, slightly older. So you're way out of Tom's league there.
True.
I agree that the Patriots should have an easy time against the Colts, and I will be rooting for the Bears to win their game. That would be classic to end the playoffs stomping the Bears. Anyway, keep doing what you do, because you are a riot, Tom. Tom plays to the fans like no other on this show. Would you agree with that, Andy?
Does it well.
Does it
that's
does
his,
it, does
that's
it
his goal well. In life, and he succeeds.
Does it very well. Anyway, hey, Tom Casale.
No, Fred Kirsch.
Oh, sorry.
Do they look alike?
When I saw your face, I thought it was Tom. I never saw him.
Why are you coming near me?
Fred's got to get his chips. What do you think?
Fred, I'm just going to give you an option. There are baked Lays there that have, like, no fat, and those have a ton of fat. Have you given the baked Lays a try? Give the baked Lays a try.
Have you been to Pac Bell Park?
Just try one bag. We'd like you to be around for the next Super Bowl after this one, the next run, and the next run after
that. Especially after
that last
flight, I almost did you in, Fred, too. I mean, I don't know. You going to be all right for this trip?
I think so.
I'm going to have to sit next to you again.
Did you start with a sore throat?
No.
Because I got a sore throat today.
Let me tell you something. Fred was legit ill on that flight. There was no sniffles involved with whatever Fred has. Anyway, let's go on to Russell because he's in the OC.
Just yes. So you know, Fred, Paul has taken on Dan Patrick's style of radio today for
doing
some reason.
Doing a lot of pausing.
He really? Long pauses between sentences. It's almost like I don't know where to go, when to jump in, when not to jump in. A whole new style from him.
Well, you know, he's used to being the guest on these shows.
I am used to being the guest, Fred, and I'm also experimenting with my style a little bit here. I'm taking a lot of swigs of Pepsi in between sentences.
Oh, boy. All right. Keep going.
Are you going to be with us now for the rest of the show? That's
yeah,
nice.
I want to eat my chips.
All right.
He's trying baked Lays.
I got an email from Brian. He said he was sending food over here.
Brian.
Maury.
Hey, is that serious?
I don't know.
We tried to hook that up, but evidently it's fallen on deaf ears so far.
We put out a call for someone to send us food.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a weekly thing now. We'd like Thursdays. It was Zolak last week.
Right.
We now need somebody else.
Did your boy Jim come up and see you?
I haven't seen him, no.
He was looking for you.
Yeah.
I said that you were upstairs.
Yeah. You can't go up there.
Yeah. Who's Jim?
Well, I thought he maybe could have gotten like a PR guy to take him up or something.
I haven't seen him.
Who's Jim?
Guy I grew up with. He works for the Manchester Union Leader.
You'd know him if you saw him. Good guy.
Keep an eye out for that. It's your name. Bill to you.
Radio Ops.
No, I'm kidding.
That's the best part. He goes, Bill to you, and cracks himself.
But he goes, All right, let's go to Russell here in the OC.
I'm kidding.
Yesterday you were asking the question, who wasn't picking the Patriots? Here's a quick list. Sean Salisbury, Mark Schlereth, John... See, now I heard Mark Schlereth this morning pick the Patriots.
Oh, really?
This is what I'm saying. They all pick both
suits. So are we now learning that the Tom Casale way is the national way? You just tell people what they want to hear, and that makes you great
on
the radio?
John Clayton, Chris Carter, Eric Allen, Mike Ditka, Michael Irvin, Steve Young, Ron Jaworski, Kadri Ismail, and all the Yahoo Sports guys.
Wait a minute.
Talking about Gray, Hannah.
Kadri Ismail has
a job. I
want to
know why he has a forum.
Cunningham, Grogan, Andy Johnson.
How long are we going here? As for the
Fred,
Pats.
Press conference. Your guy got mentioned again. Gino Marchetti.
As for the
Bill
Pats,
brought him up.
Having a letdown, remember the 2004 video where the Steelers announcer said the Patriots left it all on the field against the Colts last week, and I don't think they have anything left. No, I don't remember that. I just can't see these players allowing that to happen. Tom, you're the man. Yesterday I wasn't saying that those teams that won in the 70s weren't great. They were. I meant that those teams get more respect now based on their glorious past. And those players, plays, holy roller, the catch, immaculate reception, never seem to be mentioned as luck.
You want to take that?
More like magical happenings. That's the part that I would disagree with there, Russell, because I think that everybody considers those plays lucky.
You want to take that, Fred?
Yeah, right.
Apparently, Fred
was on the phone. That was Brian Morey. He is, in fact, sending down 3 chicken parms and some buffalo.
Tremendous.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I might have to stop saying
back
some bad stuff.
Everything I've ever said.
I can't possibly go that far.
All right, maybe not everything, but.
Now we have a new favorite. Past PFW employee.
I got to tell you, the score?
Sorry, but Shane still holds that distinction.
Gary,
for me.
You can have half of my sandwich, because I think he only thought there were 3 people down here.
Well,
just so you know, when we asked, there were only 3 people, and you weren't one of them.
That's what he just said. Why are you going to make fun of him? See, I'm starting to take Fred's shot on your little nonsense.
Shut up.
I got to tell you.
Shut up. But the score has come up big 2 weeks in a row. My new favorite sports radio station in the greater
Providence
area.
It's my new favorite Rhode Island-based radio station, no question.
Although
I was listening to Felger last night, and I actually got him in for like 5 minutes. And
that's how it is.
Borges was on. They had this caller on and just killing Borges.
That's what happens. We just spent half the locker room period killing him. Because he's picking the Colts, but then you ask him any reasoning, and he has no reasoning. I said, if these teams played 100 times, who would win more?
Patriots. He goes, the Patriots.
And he goes,
so why would you just automatically assume that an upset's going to happen?
This Sunday, it only takes one, blah, blah, blah,
blah. But that's what I'm saying, Paul. They want the Colts to win.
But
they'd rather go down swinging with the Colts than be right with the Patriots.
Have I ever?
Oh, Ron Borges, no question.
Wait a minute.
He goes down swinging like no one I've ever seen in my life.
Fred, stop. Have I ever argued with you that Ron Borges doesn't have an agenda against the Patriots?
Well, I don't know what the reason is, but
but you're saying that these guys, you know, they don't really think the Patriots are going to lose. They're just picking against them. Ron Borges thinks that. I can't imagine Ron Jaworski is thinking that way.
He's picking the Colts.
We'll see on Sunday. Just like last week when everybody picked the Patriots early in the week, and then when Sunday came, everybody was picking the Chargers
TV. So let's
fast we'll see
forward.
Who they pick
on
Sunday.
But let's fast forward a little bit. If they do in fact pick the Colts, what are you going to say then?
I'll say I was wrong.
But what's the reasoning why they're doing
that? I'm assuming that they think the Colts are going to win if they're picking them.
But why? What's the reason? I'd be
Peyton
shocked.
Peyton Manning, the offense getting in gear, the defense playing better. I don't know what their reasons are. I think the Patriots are going to win in a laugher.
I think based on the analysis, I don't know about laugher, but you'd have to pick the Patriots. And I'm just shocked that these guys are picking the
Colts. Maybe they think the home field might put them over the edge this year. Maybe they think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and that's better suited to Indianapolis.
They want the Colts to win, Paul.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think that when you have a team that wins all the time, guys that are separated from the cities involved generally will go to the underdog.
They just hate to, if the Colts win, not to have picked them. That's the bottom line.
Well, that's the only part I don't agree with you. Everything else you said, I agree 100% with.
Okay.
I think that there is an element of impartial guys, not Indianapolis, not New England.
Right.
Most of those people.
I'm leaving those people out.
Most of those other people are probably going to be rooting for Indianapolis because they want someone different to win.
Yeah, I would.
Just like everybody roots against the Yankees.
Right.
Because you want someone different there.
Right.
So they're against the Patriots.
Yes. Okay. I agree. That's why I said I agree 100% with you. Yeah. But I don't think it's because they don't think the Colts can win. They're going to pick the Colts.
Oh, I think the Colts can win. But I think based on analysis, you got to pick the Patriots.
Right. I would certainly agree with you. Again, 100% agree.
Everybody would except Ron Borges.
Ron Borges says, I would agree that the Patriots should win, but I'm picking the Colts.
Right.
That's what he said to us.
And then
the three of us tried to explain it to him for 20 minutes. He agreed with everything we said and said, all it takes is one
again,
time.
He's afraid that if the Colts, by chance win, and he's on record picking the Patriots, he can't live with himself.
He's not going.
He
on
just doesn't want the Patriots. Patriots.
Yeah. He's got to go down swinging, no
right,
matter
no
what.
No question. But the funny
but
part
is not exactly indicative
of
our little
no.
sample.
He is the extreme.
You're right.
The polar end.
You're
but
right. I'm shocked.
Like Ron Jaworski is a guy I think that logically looks at the game, and I'm surprised. You know,
I'm shocked that he would pick the Colts.
Loves Peyton Manning though.
But he loves
but
Tom
he loves Brady.
Tom Brady,
and he loves Belichick.
This is what makes Tom Brady the best quarterback in football.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it last night on ESPN when everybody was picking the Colts, and then some of them said I'd take the Colts defense. The Colts defense?
That's ridiculous.
That nuts?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
See, I think that's most of that is ex-players who obviously have an axe to grind, because you cannot sit here and objectively look at the defense and say that the Colts defense
yeah.
is what separates
I
these
agree
teams.
With you.
And for Chris Carter to say that coaching is a toss-up, the guy should be thrown off any job that he has.
Right.
Do you know what the Colts,
any job
you know
that he has.
Colts
you're obviously back on the sauce.
You know what their defense is ranked on third down conversion?
I'm a little Tom Casale like all
very
of a
bad, except for the postseason.
32.
No, I know.
32.
Except
they
for the
finished,
postseason.
They finished first in the league
beautiful.
In third down conversions and last in the league in allowing third
exactly.
down conversions.
Right.
But everybody assumes
the playoffs,
they just turned it around.
During the playoffs,
now,
opposing teams are 3-for-22 on third
down. Against two teams that were playing like they didn't have you-know-what.
And if they go on and win the Super Bowl with this defense like this, it'll be the first time that I think in probably the history of the league that a turnaround like this has happened overnight. Like when the playoffs
right.
start, all of a sudden you
and
have a good defense
right.
and you didn't have
and
one
contrary
all year.
To what Bill said, it would be an overnight change.
If they yeah. do it this week against the Patriots, it's impressive. Because
yes.
the first week, I thought they didn't have
right.
a plan B. They bought into the media thing where you can just run Larry Johnson right up the middle and win. And then the second week, I think that offense is inept down in Baltimore. This week,
and McNair played
I
terrible.
Think this
yeah.
is a pretty good offense and a pretty good coach. So if they shut this down, okay,
and
maybe they have
no matter
changed.
What anybody wants to say, that Jacksonville game was a little over a month ago where they ran for 700 yards on them.
Right.
It wasn't like that was in
Tom,
the season.
That's the other
thing.
It was not even a month and a half ago that Ron Dayne did that.
Right.
That's the other thing. Everybody keeps
season.
Saying the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, they went on a winning streak that started like Thanksgiving or the day, the week after Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's what all good teams do. Generally, they play well late in the year into the postseason. The Colts have started this streak in the postseason.
As Paul pointed out, they were limping into the playoffs so bad, people were picking the Chiefs to beat them.
And they were,
and the
more,
Chiefs,
than, and they were more than a few people that were picking the Chiefs
yeah,
to win that game.
A lot of people picked the Chiefs to win that game.
And that's the other thing. People talk about the offense and against last week because it's good defense. Well, what about the Chiefs? They didn't do anything against the Chiefs, really. I mean,
right.
they didn't put up a lot of points against the Chiefs.
They didn't put up the points. They moved the ball at will in that
they
game.
They moved
but
the ball,
they didn't
but
get touchdowns.
They made mistakes and didn't
they,
put up points.
Exactly. And if they do that, if they move the ball and don't get points,
what do the Patriots
they'll
generally allow you to
no,
do?
Was,
move
was,
the ball,
say,
but not give
that's
up
what
points
I just said.
And make
if they
mistakes.
Move, if anybody wanted to be an analyst and actually analyze this game, the Chiefs played an umbrella defense
right.
where they let – who had all the receptions? Joseph Addai. Marvin Harrison had one reception in that
right.
game. They just kept dumping, kicking field goals. Now,
yeah,
if they do that in this game, you got to like the Patriots' chances.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. And
keys
I also
to the game, score touchdowns, and Fred will make fun of it.
No, if they hold the Colts to field goals when they get down inside the 30 and 20, the Patriots will win the game.
Game, set, match.
I mean, I have to agree. I mean, that's the way I look at the game, and I think if you logically look at it and you think the Colts' defense is suddenly transformed, unless you're from Indy. I mean, I can understand you thinking that if you're in Indy. Well, our defense is playing better now, but if you step back and look at it objectively, Bill's right. What has changed?
Right.
Rob Morris is, you know, suddenly Ray Lewis, and
yeah,
he's made
Bill's,
that big of a difference
Bill's
in that defense?
Bill's right and wrong. He says what has changed, and he says they're good.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
What, nothing
no.
has changed, and they're still not good. You can't get me to buy into that they're good.
No, I said Bill was wrong with his characterization of how good the defense was. He's right,
right
in that schematically,
right.
everything is the same.
And if you're going to tell me Rob Morris is some kind of difference, the guy sucked for 4 years as a starter.
As,
they couldn't wait to replace him.
Then
he was
pointed
a free
out
agent.
Yesterday.
Nobody wanted him.
Right.
Then he's been benched the last 2 years in favor of Gary Brackett. Now all of a sudden he comes off the bench, and this guy, like you said, Paul's Ray Lewis? Come on.
I think the only legitimate one you can point to is the Bob Sanders, how important he is to that
and
defense.
And maybe McFarland, like
turning it on,
playing
just
a little
saying
better
I'm trying now. But
or
still, even if that's the case, you can't go from awful to great because
no.
two guys are suddenly playing
they
well.
They lost both starting defensive tackles
amazing.
For the season. I mean, it's hard to replace. I
right.
mean, ask the Bears how
right.
easy it is to replace two defensive tackles in the middle of your defense. I mean, I know Johnson's back now, but at the end of the year, you saw what happens. You give up 30 points a game.
Yeah. The one thing I do take from Ron Borges in his whole flawed logic and argument around this game is he brought out a customato saying, one of his old boxing sayings, which is usually when Ron's at his best, that A man who's born round does not die square.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
There's a lot.
Colts defense.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's
going against his pick.
Yes.
But he's giving you a speech.
And even he
you were there, Tom, right. When we were talking. He clearly doesn't think the Colts are better.
Right.
He clearly is picking an upset, but rather than saying, I think the Colts are going to pull an upset, which everybody, I think, could live with, he's just saying, Colts are going to win.
That was the first time I've ever been involved.
If they do, you see? I told you.
It's the first time I've ever been involved with Ron Borges and felt like I came up on top in like a debate. Usually he just bats me around.
It was also a tag team effort with three of us. So anytime one of us was staggering, someone else was there to fill
in. When I said the whole, you know, they play 100 times, who wins thing, and he goes, well, the Rams. You think those two teams play 100 times? Patriots going to win more than 100? And I said, yeah, but you picked the favorite in that
game.
You
picked the favorite.
You picked
that
the Rams 77-3. This time you're picking the underdog who has a 1 in 100 chance of winning.
77-3.
Was that the score? 77?
And I would agree, if the Patriots played them more than once, the Rams, they'd probably lose.
All
more
of them.
Often. Yeah.
Right.
But that's the point of the upset. You get them in that one game, and you can do it.
But you don't pick.
Right.
Based just on that they have the 1 in a million chance.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly right. But
I mean, if that was the case, you'd be picking Rice when they play Ohio State.
Right.
You know, well,
sooner or later.
You never know. Right. There's a chance.
It's just so flawed. And then we also, should we bring up what Gary had on the little?
Yeah, go ahead. That was a funny line.
I'm walking through the locker room, and I'm looking just around, and Chad Jackson, first of all, is at his locker. And then I notice he has a Seattle Seahawks backpack, which I don't know why he has a Seahawks backpack. Maybe he wants to join Deon Branch at some point. But
maybe
I look
they
up.
They told him he's going to.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. And he's got, was it four or five?
Hey, did he
get
any reps in San Diego?
He did not play.
He did not play. But he has four game balls on the top shelf in his locker. And
you know those painted
Ron.
Balls that they
right.
get?
They give out. I go, I turn to Ron, I go, I'm still trying to figure out how this guy got four game balls. And Ron goes, you want him in a poker match.
He must have won him in a poker game. Which is
how
typical.
Could Chad Jackson have game balls?
I'm guessing they gave out 14 game balls.
I was going
to
say, there has to have been at least one or two of those that everybody got a game ball.
Okay.
You know, maybe he got a game ball for, like, the Jets
game.
A week two or something.
I was
like going to
say, he made
know?
A nice catch in that game.
You know, or maybe he got a game ball for the game that he had the touchdown and then he had a punt return, I think, you know, but. There's no way he had four individual games where he was worthy of a game ball.
That's a game ball, a catch.
Right. Let's see. Justin in Alaska, Fred, wants to make sure that this is, if Fred approves of his subject, I'm going to read his email if it's
well,
okay
yeah,
with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to read about who totally the Patriots should hire as a coach if Belichick quits after the season.
Well, what if he does?
Okay, he well, says.
We're not there yet. We're talking about AFC Championship.
Well, after they win the Super Bowl, I think he might step aside. Fred, I got to tell you.
That day off did you good. You've been revitalized. You got some energy.
I had some bad news, though, today.
Why?
50-50 chance one of my dogs has bone cancer.
Oh, really?
That sucks.
Yeah. So I wish you didn't.
So I'm focusing on the 50 that she doesn't, but it's sucks.
Isn't this more something for like The Office instead of telling us on the radio
well,
that
you know,
your dog's going to die?
Our life, our open books here. Our listeners.
No, but it's depressing news. Now you got
it
me depressed.
Depressing.
Well, you know, what are you going
to
do?
I like dogs more than people.
So do I, for the most part.
Not me. I like people. Anyway.
I don't like anyone.
Dogs are humans.
Animals, my cat.
Let's go to Jamie in Houston right now who's on the phone lines. Jamie, what's up?
What's up, fellas? Hey. God bless you, Fred, for hanging in there. You sound terrible, but it's good to hear you. And y'all sound fired up. I hope the Patriots are half as fired up as you guys are today when they get out in the field on Sunday. Because if they do, the Colts don't stand a chance.
I sound a lot worse than I feel right now. I'm actually better. It's just
that's good.
Yeah,
that's
thank
good.
You.
Yeah, we're all fired up for the game because none of us really thinks that the Colts have a chance to win. That's why I think we're all fired up.
Well,
and,
I
know,
think
I
they
think,
have a chance.
No, you don't.
No, I do.
No, you don't.
Now he's speaking for me now.
Because I know how you feel. I know you think that there's no way they're going to lose this game, just like I do.
No, I don't feel that way, Paul. I always have that trepidation.
No, I'm afraid that Bill Polian's listening, Paul.
I won't be shocked if the Colts win. It will not be a shocking development.
I will be shocked.
I won't be shocked if they whoop them. Like, if the Patriots don't have anything left in the emotional tank and the Colts come out and just blitz them early. But if it's a close game and the Colts win, I'll be shocked. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be a good game. I think it will be competitive. But, you know, yeah, the Pats got to win this game. I mean, anybody who looks at it objectively, if you add up 1-1, you're going to get 2. and you're not going to get three like all these boneheaded analysts are front running and coming to say no. And I'm on board with Fred. They're trying to piss on our back and tell it's raining, and that just ain't happening.
And I think the thing that gives me the confidence with the Patriots.
I like that line too.
I think what gives me the most confidence with the Patriots is all the things add up in their favor, and with the experience, you know they won't blow it. You know, they're not a team to have that.
To which Ron Borges would say, what happened last year in Denver?
Well,
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I know.
Borges. Can we just call it? I'm just playing Borges.
Right. So that happened. It happened. What's the odds of it happening again? And I just think that they're the type of team when things are in their favor, they take advantage of it. They don't blow it.
No question.
Like the Chargers did. The Chargers blew it.
Yeah, and I think the Patriots, if the Patriots were going to lose, it would have been last week because they probably should have lost that game. With all the chances the Chargers had, they didn't take advantage of it. They didn't knock the champ out. Now he gets another shot, and I think the Patriots win.
Yeah, and I think the edge, you guys were talking a lot about pressure yesterday, and, you know, I think the Patriots are more motivated. I forget who was talking about it, but there was a special, you know, and it may have been Seymour in the morning with some of the guys on the Big O. They know what they're fighting for. They know how special and how rare it is to be on the doorstep and what it all means. And I think they've got more reason to fight for, and they're going to be way more motivated. And I think all the pressure will be on the Colts. You know, sorry to buck the majority. But, Fred, you're right on this as well. And,
thank you, Jamie.
Again, that's what it is. And go Pats. You guys do a great job. I thought the one email yesterday you guys brought up, had a good laugh over, I thought was classic too, is Bill's going to owe a hell of a lot. And, you know, who knows, but I thought that was good email commentary. So go Pats. We'll check you guys later.
All right, Jamie.
All right,
have
Jamie
a good one.
Houston.
Let's move on to Justin because he was a little upset that Fred didn't read his email yesterday.
Still haven't read it.
The Life Aquatic was a lost 2 hours of my life. Don't do it, Tom and Andy.
I saw some later emails that actually agree with me. We'll get to them
okay.
later.
Anyway. Rodney,
we can't talk about whether Bill will come back. If he doesn't come back, who we're going to hire, but we'll get to those Life Aquatic emails later.
This Life Aquatic thing has taken on a life of its own.
See?
Rodney will be ready for Miami, but not Indy, just so you know. I heard from someone who knows a guy whose ex-girlfriend was a roommate with Rodney at one time. More pressure? The pressure is on the Colts, not the Pats. Though agreeing with Fred is difficult.
We got to start getting this webcast because his faces are tremendous.
Most national media that I listen to on ESPN Radio, Rome, Gottlieb, Cower. Is Gottlieb Doug Gottlieb? He was a basketball player, for God's sakes. How can he be taken seriously? Len Pasquarelli, etc., are picking the Colts. It's Manning's time, I hear, or that the new defense will disrupt Tom. The real pressure is on Manning, and it's put there by Manning. If we can get ahead, he'll start to throw to anyone. Marvin, Clark, Samuel, Hobbs, Belichick, Patch 35, Indy 20. Love being hated. I love being hated by the other teams. I love how my friends can't stand that the Pats are here in the finals again. I love how NFL Network and ESPN's Tom Jackson has a ton of Pats haters, and they can't let it go. This window will shut one day, but until then, it's great to be so good that we're hated. Do you guys agree?
I think that's what comes when you're
sorry,
great.
Justin, the emails just
I
got
mean,
too long.
We're the Yankees. We're the Celtics of the 60s.
The Cowboys.
You know, if you weren't in Boston, if you weren't in Boston, if you weren't a Dallas fan, you hate those
See,
teams.
But that's right. A perfect example. When I was growing up, right, in the late 70s, when I first kind of started following who the good teams were, I hated Pittsburgh and I loved Dallas. Then Dallas finally kind of got over the hump, and I hated Dallas.
Yeah, but you weren't really a fan of any team.
No. I was a fan of the Patriots.
I was the same way. I hated the 49ers when Joe Montana was there because they always won.
Right.
And I hate. And when you moved on to the Montana Niners, it was the Niners that I hated. It was because they were great. I loved the Patriots always, Fred, because I was a Patriots fan. But I'm talking about nationally, you know, the Patriots were never there.
Right.
So, I mean, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
But who I was going to root for, Dallas or Denver in 1977? Denver, because I hated Dallas. They were always there.
Right.
You know? The next year, you know, the Rams. Well, that was a different reason because my cousin was the quarterback, but they lost. You know, what are you going to do?
The one thing I did laugh at, they brought up the Seymour thing and some of the players talking about they know how special this is. I kind of laugh at that because they don't really on some level because they do it at least every other year. They're in a championship game. So they don't really know how special it is that you can go and then go forever if you're Dan Marino and not get back
Ty
there.
Ty Warren's hawking the Super Bowl ring.
Ty Warren says, you know, they get old after a couple months.
But the
quote of the week.
Well, the one thing that he said.
He hawked his Super Bowl?
No,
but he said, somebody asked if he wears them, and he said, not really. To be honest, they get old after a couple months.
Well, that's why I laughed at Rex Grossman's comment saying we're two wins away from having a ring, or wearing a ring for the rest of my life or something like that. And
they're done.
You can't win. You can't wear a ring. Well, you can't wear those rings.
And the thing about what he
said. Well, they're done because they
they're done because
they're not as good as the team they're playing.
But the thing, but
not because he said that.
But if you just said the Saints are destined to win, that's stupid.
Right.
Like
I think
like
the Saints are a better team.
Right.
That's why I'm picking them to win.
If you're picking the Saints because you think they're going to win because they're better, that's one thing. But like he said, people are saying it's Manning's time.
Right.
What kind of analysis is that? Tell me the Colts are better. I read that thing on ESPN by Pasquarelli, the five reasons why the Colts will win. I got done and I said, all right, well, now tell me why they're going to win. He didn't say anything.
I got to tell you, I'm starting the more and more closely involved and we are that we get to see these national people up close and personal at times, the less I think of them, number one. And number two, the more I think of it in terms of kind of like, you know, well, you write five reasons why the Patriots can win,
right.
Tom, and Andy will write five reasons why the Colts
can win. You pick any side.
Yeah.
It doesn't really
I mean, I can make an argument. Yeah. And we could do a point-counterpoint on this.
Yeah. Right.
It's just a chore.
You know, I think you know what I'm saying.
You don't believe in a point-counterpoint that we argue every week?
Let's get back to, because Justin mentioned NFL Network sort of has it. Today, a lot of the Patriots were supposed to come to the podium, didn't end up coming to the podium. Any reason given for that?
Well, Troy Brown was ill.
Okay.
Ty Warren was given yesterday off because, you know, I think he did his national conference call and then he was excused for the day because he had some family matter to attend to.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that he's still attending to that.
Yeah.
No word on Brewski.
Okay.
He never came in the locker room either.
Because usually, you know, this is like league mandate type stuff, I guess.
I think this takes over Friday.
No, I think this year it is because they've been issuing NFL transcripts after each one of these press conferences. So these are being monitored.
All I saw was Ty Warren was an NFL transcript.
Yeah, that was a national conference call.
I thought these were requested by the NFL to do it this way.
Probably requested.
I think on Friday.
Friday
is league mandated without question.
Yeah, that's where you're fined or you get in trouble if you don't take part.
And that might be why Brewski didn't want to do today because Brewski is one of the league mandated ones on Friday. He may have said, you know what, I have to do it tomorrow.
Right.
Can we get by with just that?
But now I also heard that, and I didn't see it, but when Belichick came after the press conference, you took the NFL Network microphone and bent it down.
That is correct.
Somebody came and bent it back up.
I've heard lots of reports. I haven't seen it.
He does that a lot.
He ripped the microphone
down.
Well,
he always adjusts.
But there was two microphones there, and he clearly saw the microphone of the NFL Network, and he pulled it down, and the NFL Network guy was kneeling. You know, you remember how bad that room was. He was kneeling, kind of caught in a spot where he couldn't really do anything. He looked with this look of amazement on his face, and he kind of crawled on his hands and knees back up to the podium to pick the microphone back up.
Did Belichick do anything when he...
I don't know. I couldn't see all this going on, but I was told about it yesterday by Steve Burton, who obviously had his microphone there for whatever, the fifth quarter,
the
show
was. He's out there after the third quarter.
But you know what my opinion is on that? That's the same thing as LT. It's a bunch of baby bull crap.
But I wonder
do your interview.
But I wonder if he has some problem with the
NFL
Network.
Tell him to shut up and write a book about it after he retires.
I don't want to hear
about it.
Yeah, you.
But I wonder what
it
is.
You can't be doing that.
They pick against him. So what? Who cares? Yeah. Shut up, Bill. Just do your post-game press conference and stop whining. Well, no, it's the same thing as LaDainian Tomlinson. It's the same thing as Philip Rivers.
You check your blood sugar lately?
He's crying.
I agree.
I mean, just act professional.
Well, that's a whole other argument. For a different day.
Is this the Rev Ray? I think he has some analogies to back up Fred. He says, life aquatic equal good.
Yeah, there you go, Reverend.
Bill Belichick equals genius. Brady equals ballsy. Troy Brown equals the man. Just stating some facts. Has anyone brought up the irony of lights out being shut out by light?
That's right.
Yes.
I'm worried because my hatred of the Colts is making me want very sadistic things. Adam V. shanking, Polian taking a swing at Tom, Manning being on the brink of, what is seppuku?
Sudoku?
No, it's S-E-P-P-U-K-U. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Anyway, the Reverend Ray is loving this.
Okay.
No one knows what seppuku is?
No?
Well, the Reverend will have to let us know.
He's on the brink of seppuku?
That's what he said.
But what do you think, Patriot fans, what would you like to see least? A, Adam Vinatieri kicks a game-winning field goal to beat you, or B, the Colts are up 41-17 with 2 minutes to go, and they hand the ball off to Dan Klecko, and he scores a touchdown and spikes it and does a dance like the fridge.
The latter.
The latter?
I'd rather see that than Vinatieri kick the winning field goal.
Why? Because
then the Globe will trot out their season preview about how they focus on the...
Well, that came out of nowhere.
Wow.
Fred hates the Globe.
Fred hates the Globe. Kiernan wants to know, he's in Raleigh, North Carolina. Do you guys really think that several Patriots have the flu, as the reports have said?
I believe it. I know I had it.
Yeah, Fred's passing it along to everybody, so you can all blame Fred if they lose.
Yep.
What makes you think I didn't get it from them?
Interesting that you might bring that up, Tom, because Mike is next up, and he says, what's with Fred getting all our players sick? Troy Brown, Ryan O'Callaghan, Mike Wright all have the flu.
Keep
Fred away from the locker room, cafeteria, and press conferences.
He was in the same cabin with the players on the plane, mm-hmm. sniffing and snorting and blowing his nose and fluids everywhere. It was ugly.
I had a big towel over my face.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
A hot towel?
No, it was a big cloth.
I got a hot towel for the trip back.
Paul indulged in the towel.
I did.
I was proud of
him. My second one ever.
I was very proud of him.
I'm surprised you were even offered one. The right aisle, not a good aisle.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, let's see here.
Breaking news.
Where's the food? That's what I want to hear about breaking news.
Gary Grodekai hands me a note here saying, also called seppuku, ceremonial suicide by ripping open the abdomen with a dagger or knife.
Oh.
Formerly practiced in Japan by members of the warrior class when disgraced.
I thought that was Harry Carey.
That same thing that happened in Braveheart.
Oh, God!
Yeah, well, they disemboweled
him. I skinned my pecker!
But they opened his...
They opened him up and disemboweled him. They took out his intestines.
Rev Run is well beyond us in terms of, like, worldliness. And
I thought that was Harry Carey.
Yeah, just say rip his nuts off or something. That was something we can understand.
I don't think you have to limit that to the Reverend Ray. I mean,
Ray, not Rev Run.
That's pretty much everybody. Let's see here. Mike's email finishes up. In terms of pressure, I think there is more pressure on the Patriots as a team, but as individuals, I think Peyton Manning has the most pressure on himself.
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's pretty much a little bit of a difference, kind of agreeing with both of us. Please note, if Scott Pioli ever did something like what Bill Polian did, I know he would never do something like that. He is a really nice guy. He would be seriously disciplined by the league. But Mr. Polian goes unpunished because Indy seems to own things like the competition committee. Yes. The league needs to do something about him because this is the third time I've heard something like this. No wonder why the owner doesn't have him in the visitor's owner sweet box.
Scott gets to sit wherever he wants. You know, he gets to sit with the owner or with the coaches or wherever he wants to go. Polian, I don't think they allow him in there.
Well, who's this, Paul?
Ursay doesn't want to sit with Polian.
Mike, let me ask you something. How do you know Scott?
You know that for a fact?
No, I don't know that.
Then you shouldn't say that.
Well, why does he sit in the press box?
I don't know.
He's an idiot. Fred.
Why doesn't Scott Pioli sit in the press box?
I don't know.
He doesn't want to.
Well, why doesn't Mike Tannenbaum sit with the owner? He sits in the press box. I mean, he's not the only one. Jerry Angelo, he was in the press box. A lot of them are.
I just don't think that's where they should be.
It's a
press box.
But maybe it's old school. Isn't that, did they all used to sit in the press box?
Well, Al Davis started
in the press box.
Al Davis used to sit in the press box all the time.
Okay.
Well, but he was the only guy that I knew of.
And I'm just wondering, Mike, why do you know that Scott Pioli's a nice guy? You ever sat down with him and eat dinner with him? You ever visit his family? Why? Because he's a member of the Patriots organization? I just don't get that. I used to be a naive fan once, too, and I used to think these kinds of things, too. But until you actually meet people, you don't really know what they're like.
And even when you do meet them,
true.
You still don't really know what they're like.
I'm talking about meeting them, like knowing them.
Right.
Like until you know somebody.
You don't know anyone, really.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Elliot is up next. I think it's Elliot. He watched the game against the Chargers, and I was really disappointed in the way Tom Brady played. The touchdown at the end of the first half was a Brady staple. But other than that, he was just playing off. He threw three picks, but he should have thrown six. One potential interception was thrown to Watson in triple coverage at the goal line, and Watson broke it up. Another one fell out of a DB's hands, and another one got tipped when a Pats player was falling out of bounds. I don't think the Patriots won that game. I think the Chargers lost it. With Brady's performance, San Diego should have won by two touchdowns. Can you guys think of a playoff game where Brady played worse? How can you guys be so confident that the Patriots are going to beat the Colts with Brady playing like that?
Because I think they beat a much better team than the Colts are with Brady playing that poorly.
Well, I don't think that they would win a game playing like that, and I don't expect Brady to play like that.
Right.
No.
That's why I'm confident.
If he plays like that again, they'll be in trouble.
And I think that maybe Denver was the only playoff game that he played worse
than. I do agree that the Chargers blew that game. They made a lot of mistakes, as did the Patriots. But I'm ready to say right here, the Chargers are a much better team than the Colts are.
No question.
I agree.
Much, much better than the Colts.
No question. By the way, you guys are fantastic. I'm a Pats fan from Worcester who lives in Philadelphia now, and I listen to you guys every day. My favorite two lines are, look at that douchebag, and maybe I just drink to get drunk. God bless Casale and Perillo. That's Elliot in Philadelphia.
Good email. Look
all
at
right,
that douchebag.
Let's squeeze a couple more in before the break here. Sean is in Macon, Georgia. I understand why you guys seem rather confident going into the Colts game. I myself feel pretty good as well. But you guys make it sound like the Colts have no chance in this game. Are you serious?
Don't speak for me.
No chance. The Colts can do something that neither the Jets or nor the Chargers can do, attack the Pats' weak secondary down the field. You guys really feel that comfortable that Manning is going to struggle against the Pats?
Yep,
how do you
he's
know
a loser.
That? He looked pretty good against them the last two times he was in Gillette. The Colts played very well at home. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Colts come out and light the Pats up. I know plenty of people who think the Colts are going to win, including more of the media than you guys make it seem. I am a Pats fan, but I am also realistic. The Pats better bring their A game, or they're going home instead of to Miami.
Well, we're assuming they're going to bring their A game. That's why we're confident, because they brought their D-plus game last week
and still won.
Right. And I just don't expect them to play poorly like that again in a big spot.
Yeah.
If they do, if they play like they did last week, I don't think they'll win.
There's a good chance they're going home.
Because I think the Colts are more experienced than San Diego, mm-hmm. even though they haven't won at all.
And they have more playoff games.
And they have a quarterback
who will
make plays, and he'll make them pay for these.
If the Patriots play like they've played in two of their last three playoff games, they'll go home.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. But I just don't think it will happen. Tim is next up.
Over there contemplating.
Just so you guys know, I'm one Patriots fan who loves the Life Aquatic.
There we go.
Hopefully this doesn't negate the rest of my email. Have one question.
Stop reading. Well, we haven't seen it yet.
we'll
let you know in a couple of weeks.
What are the chances that Rodney Harrison plays this week? And it seems unlikely,
zero.
But I was
None.
Wondering if you guys had any more info.
He's been upgraded to
doubtful. He walked through from the training room to the locker room yet again. To the weight room yet again today. Quickly, not talking, not stopping.
I asked him if he was hiding again. He said yes.
He wasn't doing anything in the weight room.
Next time he does it, and he kind of make a move to him, see if he can cut.
Grab the knife and put it at his wife's
and
throat.
Now I'm former Patriots Football Weekly employee.
I think he's just
well,
rehabbing.
That's just a matter of time anyway.
No. Tom's gone long before I am.
What?
You'll be former PFW employee before I am.
That's because I'll get promoted. I'll have my own radio show.
I'll be laughing. Your blood spilled all over my body.
I was going more with fired.
Make it 150 grand a year. I'll be calling you up. Okay, we got Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly on the line. Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I hope so.
Shane is in Miami. Just a quick question. If the Pats beat the Colts, that will be the second undefeated team at home they beat in the playoffs. Has that ever happened before? Patriots fans are very into those kind of quirky things that really don't mean a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ever happened.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer to the question is. Do you?
Gary will effort to find out the answer.
But I do know that Brady's undefeated in a dome. Is that true?
Yes.
He's never lost inside.
That's correct.
I actually heard Bill Polian was
once.
Cutting the roof off the RCA dome as we speak.
He's only lost once on artificial turf.
And that was against?
I don't know.
Buffalo, 31-0.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is correct.
That was a fluke loss.
That was a fluke
Bill's
loss.
Bill's fault.
That's right.
Drop that emotional bombshell on the team right before the season. Brady's not able to overcome that.
In all seriousness, it kind of was. It's like they committed suicide in that game.
Otherwise, he's undefeated.
It all worked out.
David, before we
take all's well that ends well.
Before we take
hey,
the
lawyer.
Break, David says, I have a newfound respect for Sean Merriman based on what you guys quoted him as saying in Tuesday's show with respect to the whole LT crying fiasco. My only concern is that I haven't seen anywhere where he has said any of this except from you guys. He said it yesterday again on ESPN News. We lost to the better team.
Right.
The Patriots deserve to beat us. He said it flat out. Those are the exact words. This week's game is more important to me than the Super Bowl. One of my favorite moments in the NFL is when the Pats make Peyton look like he's a six-year-old who was about to cry. I love the Pats. I love that the Pats are the Colts' kryptonite. I really hope that the Pats go for the jugular on every drive, and I expect to see Maroney rip through them. Off-topic question, do you guys have a clue how many people listen to your podcasts? Not sure if it's a million or if it's just me and some of my of Fred's immediate family.
69.
Closer to a million.
Check the popularity bar. I went there last night, Fred, to our podcast, and the popularity bar is the whole way through, you know, on iTunes.
Is.
It's got to be one of the top list.
And that's
things.
Just
Tonka Sally talking about popularity.
We're available on more than just iTunes.
The first time I ever checked it.
That's just one way to get us. You can get us directly from Patriots.com or any of the major podcasts.
I would say somewhere in the neighborhood.
Podcatchers?
Yes, what they call them.
I've never heard that term before. Podcatchers.
I say we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000 people a day.
I think that's fair. I'd go with, who wants to know?
I have learned well from my superiors, and my answer to that question would be, who's asking?
My question is, do you want to buy any advertising?
or provide us some
food? Yeah, this podcast can be brought to you by, what's his name?
Where's that food that
by David Altman.
David Altman's Patriots Podcast.
I am a first-year listener, and I have this sneaking suspicion that Casale changed his pronunciation of his name in order so it to be similar to Vince Papale.
No.
Anyways,
although
Tom.
Although both are losers.
Anyway, Tom, don't be discouraged. I have faith in you, just like Papali. You can contribute more in this team than Chad Jackson.
That I can hang
Tom's
around for a year or two.
Tom's already done more than Papali's done in his whole life.
Pat's 27, Colts 17.
I appreciate it, but I don't know if I want to be compared to a guy who stuck around for a couple of years, didn't do nothing, then was
was a freaking gimmick.
Oh, I got to read this one, Gary, before we take the break, just because it's about me. What a pleasant surprise today, driving into work. This is from Kevin in Kansas City. Driving into work, listening to 810 Sports Radio in KC, only to hear editor of PFW, Paul Perillo, gracing our airwaves.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Great analysis, Paul. Let's just hope your 31-17 prediction comes true. I toned it down from the 38-10 to 31-17.
What a wuss.
One question. Can you comment on how James Sanders is doing at safety? I am concerned with his run support, as every time I see him, he comes up for a tackle. He seems to have poor pursuit angles and misses the ball carrier.
I haven't seen him miss ever. Occasionally I see him, you know, holding on to an ankle for dear life.
I saw him miss a few Sunday, but for the most part, he's very short tackle in the open
field. I'd laugh if Paul was doing the national radio interviews and he picked the Colts.
Well, apparently that's what everybody does.
You ain't going to see me pick the Colts anywhere, because I don't pick what I don't believe. I picked the Chargers last week because I thought the Chargers were going to win the game, not because I was trying to be a smart guy.
You know what I thought was interesting? They were breaking down the first game between the Patriots and Colts on ESPN.
Do you want to take that, Fred?
Every time Maroney got through the hole, Bob Sanders came up.
Yeah.
And like Dungy said after the game, he saved two or
couple
three. I saw the plays because it looked like Maroney was going, and boom, Sanders would come in. And I mean, he's a heck of a player. And I think James Sanders is doing similar things for the Patriots. He's coming up and making big tackles.
All right, Gary, let's take a break, and hopefully Brian Morey really will come by with some food.
Breaks a tackle, drives to the field, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
Ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
How are you? Please sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell.
That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Back for the second hour of TFW in Progress. The gang is all here.
Beastie Boys.
That's one of my Dan Patrick pauses right there, too, Andy. Is that good?
Well, it's okay when there's music playing, but when there's nothing...
Plus, I actually said something and was done with my thought.
I'm confused. Why is Fred here? What's going on here?
Fred came down. I actually like Fred in that role because he seems to get more fired up when he doesn't have to read ahead on the emails.
So he's not playing the host?
Gary, can you effort finding out if the food is here?
Big problem with this food.
I'll take a look.
Hey, we all know fat guys need to eat. Web radio at patriots.com.
And as we all know, based on our TV audience, we're all fat guys.
Again, that's web radio at patriots.com. Tons of emails coming in. We have only two games to talk about, Fred, so shall we continue with the emails for a little while?
Or should we just get those out of the way?
Or turn our microphone on.
I'm pretty sure they know where we're going when it comes to the Patriot game. We don't really have to talk about it that much. We've been talking about it all week.
Let's quickly then.
Fred, I can't hear you.
Put your microphone on.
Let's.
when Tom gets that upset, you really need to start shaping
up. He said it four times.
I said it four times, and he kept talking, and no one could hear him.
Let's just quickly go over the last week and say who we're going to pick this week.
By the way,
now
Paul,
we know why that
Paul,
happens.
You weren't here yesterday. Me and Fred have a bet next year.
Big money
if
bet.
If he beats me with the spread next year, him and his wife go to where?
Abe and Louise
on me.
And if it goes the other way, Tom and Allison go somewhere
like
else
Arby's,
where Tom actually wants to go.
Arby's,
Pizza Hut. Pizza, you know, Arby's or Subway.
Did right. you see that they had the dinner where the rookies had to pay?
Yeah.
$40,000.
Where was that?
Ruth's Chris.
Where was that written?
What?
Where was it written? At the
Ruth's? Oh, the Providence Journal.
I think if
I
was a rookie and got that tab, I'd start to cry.
Well, I got a feeling if I lose next year and I get your tab, I'm going to be crying too.
You will.
Why? What'll that cost? What's that place? Is that expensive?
It'll come out to $80 a person.
Yeah, Abe and Louis is expensive.
It's
awful.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, that's
he's not beating me.
I don't really like that stuff. To be honest with you, I know Andy loves it. I don't
like what?
Abe and Louis?
Kind of rookie indoctrination.
Oh, I got no
program.
Problem with that.
I don't like those things.
I do.
He asked the guy to go out and make a play that might make or break your season, but then he has to carry the water bottles back from practice. I just don't understand that.
Breaking them.
Paul, it's the way it's always been in everything, military, sports.
Doesn't mean I like it.
Fraternities.
I didn't like them.
I didn't know like reason it. Behind it. I don't get that.
I didn't like it when it happened to me, and I didn't make people do it when I was the upperclassman.
I'm with you, Paul. I never got into that kind of thing.
It's because the freshman who was starting over you would have laughed.
I'm just kidding.
See, he gets so mad.
Two-time captain, Fred. Didn't make guys have to carry my stuff in.
How come you didn't talk to A.G. Spanos when you were at San Diego?
I never saw him.
He was sitting right in the press box.
We never really moved from our seats.
Yeah, I never moved.
We were freezing.
I was
ridiculous.
Sitting there shivering trying to warm my hands on the radiator.
That was absolutely
now, Fred,
ridiculous.
I've heard some bad things about this Indianapolis press box. Are we going to have seats?
Yeah, we should.
Do you think we'll all have seats?
I heard some bad things.
Why?
I just heard it's small.
It's a small
and I heard some
press
of the people
box.
From Indianapolis.
Well, I've never been
that.
There for an AFC championship, so right. I'm sure they're going to be tight. Yeah.
I think we're not going to have seats.
I think we're not going to have seats. Well, you will.
I'll tell you what.
I'm not so sure.
You will.
If I'm going championship game and Super Bowl without a seat, I'm going to need that review back.
This one I prefer because this one you just sit and watch it on TV. Super Bowl sucks because you're there 8 hours early sitting in the stands.
It's the principle of it. Why does the Globe have to send 35 people to cover the freaking game?
And they won't all have seats.
They won't all have seats. That's the thing.
Well, we'll see. I want to see who doesn't have seats. I'm taking names.
right. We'll say hello. Who are you? Well, who do you? Your affiliation?
Just so you know, you won't be doing that in the Super Bowl because
no,
we'll be going in a whole different direction.
The Super Bowl,
everybody's in alphabetical order.
Yeah, the
so.
Super Bowl's one thing.
You want to do these? These picks.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, Fred continues his red hot deal with the devil.
He cannot be stopped.
Fred is 8-0, just picking flat out winners, and 6-2 against the spread.
Unstoppable.
So, that's amazing.
Everything comes to an end at some point.
Tom is 7-1. Andy and I are 6-2. So obviously everybody's doing pretty well. But with the spread. Fred has a 2-game lead over me. 6-2 for Fred, 4-4 for me, 3-5 for Tom, 1-7 for Andy. Which
oh.
I'm sorry, but I think you have to try to do that bad.
I'm not a gambler.
Wow.
I've tried and done that bad. I wasn't trying to go 1-7.
Anyway, New Orleans is at Chicago in the NFC Championship game. Tom, what's
two and a half.
Line?
Chicago's 2.5. It's 2.5 and 3. The Colts are 3 and the Bears are 2.5.
Both games are virtual picks.
They've opened that way and haven't changed since.
What happened to my mic there?
It wasn't on, just like Fred's usually.
But
it's
been on this whole time. How did it just get off? Are you a little surprised the Patriots line hasn't moved?
No,
or do you think it'll move later?
I don't think that'll move all week. I think that's one where you're going to get 50-50. You're going to get 50% on the Colts and...
I misread those
3-point lines on games where they're even games and they give the 3 for the home field and it rarely moves.
Right.
Now, I thought the national people like you would all be on because I figured, God, if you get burnt 100 times, the 101st time, you say, I'm not going to get burnt anymore. But apparently these guys
are not like that theory. I'm just looking at, like Fred said, if you look at the game and you break it down, you say, who's played better over
the last
4 or 5, 6 weeks?
Yeah, but we know they're not
going to
do that. We've already read their stuff.
Because I don't want them to pick the Patriots because, well, I've picked against the Patriots so many times in the past and I've gotten burnt.
But
that's no reason.
But don't you think that's as good as saying it's Manning's time?
Yes.
That's
just as dumb. That's just as dumb.
That's what they're doing. I don't get it.
Hey, what is that logo of the top team there? Anybody? 75-77? What team is that they're talking about? Highest winning percentages in a 3-year span, no playoff wins since 1970. And I don't know what that logo is.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Some sort of
either.
Four-legged animal.
It's got to be a team that's no longer in existence.
I've never seen it before in my life.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Saints.
Oh, can I ask a quick question? Do the Bears, how much does Benson play?
Depends.
Kind of like Michael Turner.
Yeah, it depends how the game's going.
So they don't.
Like, there's been a couple of games where they put him in the second half and he's gotten rolling against smaller defenses.
Because I heard somebody alluding to the fact that all the teams that are in the Final Four kind of have split running back duties this year. And it's definitely the case with the others, but I didn't know how much they.
I gotta say that I don't know if they're giving him the ball enough because the times they've given it to him this year, he's ran pretty well. I think he's like Jones. Is one of those scat back types, but I think if you have the lead, he's a guy that can pound
right.
you. But, no, he gets some carries. Not like this, though.
Do we want to pick this game?
I just saw Sean Alexander run up a hole in the Chicago defense that you could literally drive a truck through.
That defense is not what it was.
Well, then,
not even close.
I mean, with all those guys out and then all the turmoil they've had, that's not nearly not even the unit that the Patriots played against.
No, not even close.
And the unit the Patriots played against was a shell of what played the first 2 months. And I think they've dropped significantly since then. So I don't think that's why you could tell where I'm going with my pick. But New Orleans, obviously, the feel-good story of the year.
We're starting. I keep hearing Paul say, are we picking it?
I've said it 7 times, and then you keep saying, I have another question.
Watching TV.
Well, I figured you'd pick say, okay, Andy.
Pick. Andy, pick.
Focus.
We'll see if I have to say that to Tom or Fred, but go ahead. Andy, pick.
Now, yeah, that's the same thing because I start. The guy next to me, if he doesn't go, he's a moron.
I still can't get him to pick.
Freaking moron. I already picked. I picked the Super Bowl. Patriots 35, Saints 10. So that tells you where I'm going in both picks.
It doesn't tell
me
how many.
I think the Saints can play offense. Is that good enough for you? Is that clear enough? Is that direct enough for you? I think the Bears can do nothing at a championship or even high-quality playoff level right now.
All right.
That's it?
I'm done.
I'm going to go with the Bears in this game.
Really?
Yeah, I just...
I'm shocked.
I looked at both teams...
It's just their time?
No, I think it... I understand that their defense isn't playing that good, but the Saints' defense is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolute garbage, and it's been garbage all year. I think it's going to be a close game. But I think in the end, the Bears' defense makes more stops than the Saints. It's at home. It's in Chicago. I know the Saints have played pretty well outdoors. I just there's just so many people on the Saints. I feel like the Bears are the one team that is getting kind of disrespected in this whole mix, and maybe they use that.
They've kind of earned it lately, though.
Who?
The Bears, the way they've played.
I understand, but they did win last week. What did the Saints do? They played at home against the Eagles and squeaked that one out.
The Eagles were one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs.
All right, well, I think it turns around for the Bears this week. I think both teams are garbage, and I think either team who gets to the Super Bowl is going to get destroyed.
I agree. That's why I picked it solely on the Saints offense. It's the one unit I feel like I can count on.
I got this feeling, like Paul said something about Drew Brees a month ago, I got this feeling he's in for a bad game this week. I don't know why. It's a Fred Kirsch-like feeling. But I just
that makes you eight,
I know. But I think the Bears defense is better than the Saints defense, and I think it's a dead even game, and because of that I'm gonna go with the Bears at home.
Yeah, I gotta go with the Saints in this game. I just think that their offense is that much better right now. Rex Grossman, people say that he had a good game last week. I don't know. He had a couple good passes, but he's just not playing well. And I don't trust him in an AFC championship game, and I just think the Bears defense.
Luckily he plays in the NFC.
I mean, NFC. I don't think the Bears' defense is anything where it was in the beginning of the season, and I think the Saints offer that much on offense to make them look even worse. I don't think the Bears, on the other hand, their offense can really make the Saints' defense look that bad. So I'm going with the Saints in this one.
Yeah, I'm agreeing, actually, with everything that Tom said, but I'm going to take the Saints to win the game. I think it's going to be a very close game. I don't think the Saints' defense is very good. And as long as Rex Grossman doesn't lose the game, I think the Bears will put up a lot of points. But I think the way that Chicago's defense is playing and the way the Saints' offense has played most of the year, I think it's going to take 30 points to win the game. And I don't think that the Chicago offense, even if Grossman plays well, is capable of putting up 30. And for that reason, I'm going to take the close game to go in the Saints' direction. And I actually disagree a little bit with the long-term thing for the Saints. I think if they play well offensively in a controlled environment, which Miami would be, I think they could score points against anybody in a Super Bowl, a potential Super Bowl matchup. And for that reason, I think they would be in the game. Yeah. I don't think they're as good as the AFC teams. I clearly agree with Tom on that. But, you know, that's putting the cart ahead of the horse.
Sure.
A little bit. I like the Saints in this game, in a tight game, like 30-27, you know, a high-scoring, close game. Unless Grossman completely falls apart, and in which case I think the Saints.
Well, I definitely think they would have a better chance with the Colts because you could get a shootout going and outscore. I think the Patriots defense is too physical for them.
Yeah, I think the Patriots would get enough stops to beat them, but I think they would be able to move the ball. I don't think it would be the blowout that a lot of other people do.
So everyone with the Saints except Tom.
Tom likes Chicago. Yes.
Okay.
Right, I don't love them. I just it's a tough one. It's a close game.
Now, why don't we?
We're all picking the Patriots.
We all pick the Patriots, but let's get a little.
Fear is my dream that the Colts get to the Super Bowl and lose. That's my fear.
That was your dream.
Yeah, he had a dream, and you've been on with your feelings lately, Fred. I don't know. This might affect my pick.
It's proof's in the pudding.
Fred's feelings are undefeated.
He's 8-0.
Did you have a feeling about the Bears game? Or did you analyze that? Because I didn't hear you say.
Oh,
he
did analyze it.
You just lost that game.
That's why I like my chances.
You just lost your first game of the postseason because you didn't have a
feeling. I'll probably go 0-2 this week.
That's terrible.
Because actually, I really do think the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah. Plus, you have your little dream that says the Colts obviously have to win against
in
Patriots
order for
to get there.
Exactly.
I don't think. I just think everything we talked about earlier, if you look at the game in so many ways, it's the Patriots winning. And I don't think the Colts are playing very good football. I think the Patriots are the most well-rounded team left out of the four because I think they can play some offense, play some defense. None of it great, none of it comparable to a couple years ago, but bottom line is it doesn't have to be. You only have to beat the teams that are out in front of you. I think they do that. I think they go into Indy. And the only way, I agree with Tom, I think the only way the Colts pretty much can win is if they come out on fire and all of a sudden it's 21-0 Colts and game, set, match. Patriots aren't catching up.
Let me throw something out there, devil's advocate. We all say, you know, I'm not buying this Colts defense. You are what you are, and they're not a good defense. What if somebody said, I'm not buying this Patriots passing in the receivers? They are what they are, and they're not that good.
Yeah, but
they've
been doing it for over a month, Fred.
Okay.
It's kind of been building. You know what I mean? They've been they stunk in the middle of the year, and it's been building ever since.
And Gaffney, you could argue, more than Caldwell. Caldwell has come on. I mean, he evolved as the season went on into Brady's guy. Watson's back, so if he makes some contributions. The one guy I think you really say, Jabari Gaffney is not a 8-catch, 10-catch, 100-yard guy in the postseason. I would agree with that.
He
has been. Right. But I think the focal point of the offense is still the guy that was on the screen a moment ago behind us, Tom Brady.
Right.
And he's pretty good now. Well, so I think that's why you say the offense is pretty good, because Tom Brady's good. And
that's
this is his
that's
time.
How I would counter. That's how I would counter that, Fred. And I know you just
I'm devil's just
advocate. Devil's
advocate, right?
But I would counter that by saying, from the Patriots' perspective, I feel a lot better about Tom Brady than I do from the Colts' perspective with Rob Morris and Booger
right.
McFarlane's resurgence.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
There's kind of been a forgotten.
There's
our boy Colvin doing the lights out dance. there's Wolfork doing it. See, now they were doing it to the fans.
Yeah, I don't have as much of a problem
right,
with
now,
that.
Now Hobbs came to the middle of the field and did it to the Chargers. That was the difference.
I don't have a problem with
saying,
the fans and celebration. That's just
because some people haven't seen the video.
And some people Fred, claim it didn't happen. Just so you know.
Of course it did.
Well, a lot of people say that I haven't seen it, so it didn't happen.
Right.
It's kind of like Paul Perillo. I haven't heard the national guys pick against them.
It's like the guy from the Red Sox who didn't believe that their dinosaurs existed.
Carl Everett.
Or the moon.
But I think there's a forgotten weapon here, and I think it's Maroney, because they haven't really been running the ball much, and I think you get back to some run. I don't think it's going to be like you run power eye all game.
No, I think you got to run some misdirection.
Well,
and
I think
Maroney.
They're going to have a lot of success on the ground.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah.
Because
they
won't just try to do it.
Yards last time they played.
I think 25 to 35 carries between the two of them mm-hmm. for one of those high hundreds combined day.
And that's why I think the Patriots are going to win. I think they have balance on offense. I don't think the Colts are going to run the ball. That means they get inside the 20, they get inside the 10, but can they score? Because
right.
last time they couldn't. You know, they threw the ball and they couldn't get in. And I think that's the difference in the game. Yeah. The Patriots hold the Colts to field goals, the Patriots get touchdowns, and they outscore them.
Okay.
I think that's a very plausible way of looking at it. I think they throw early to get the lead. They run late to hold on to the lead. That's basically been the blueprint, and I'm going to stick with it. That's what the blueprint is against Indy, and when the games that the Patriots have been successful is they've been able to get the lead and then run it right down their throats to keep the lead. And remember back in that game in 2004 here, Fred, late in the second half, it was just all Dillon in that game. And now when you have Maroney and Dillon, I think it's even going to be tougher for the Colts to deal with it.
Yep. All right. That's
right.
The picks.
Brian Moore, if you're still listening, we still have
Brian food. Moore sent an email saying that he sent it, so I don't know what the deal is there. But
Some security guard is eating our subs.
He's only worked here for like 10 years. He can't figure out how to get us a sandwich.
I wasn't going to go right to like a personal attack. But
well, Tom,
I get cranky when I get hungry.
Tom just brought up Lawrence Maroney, and next email wants to talk about that. It's Eli or Ellie. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that. I apologize if I've butchered it. Pats fan living in Philly, and as many listeners who came on before me, thank you for keeping me informed of what's going on with the Pats. You are doing a phenomenal job. I am definitely an amateur when it comes to the subtleties of the X's and O's, born and raised in West Africa playing soccer. So let's show a little respect, Andy. As someone who obviously is, you know, not nearly as well-versed as you are on football.
Why did I show disrespect?
No, I'm just telling you, just in case you know.
Actually,
generally, I automatically assume you're going to show disrespect.
Actually, when he said, I'm an amateur, or she, I guess it could be either, depending on the name, I said, so are we.
Oh, okay. But I noticed that.
I'm not pompous like you.
I noticed that Maroney has incredible speed, strength, and agility, but at times when he is given the ball, he seems to be confined to follow his blocker in the middle of the defensive line. Middle of the defensive line, whereas if he made the outside run, he would most likely gain more yardage. I am just wondering if he is allowed to create his own routes when there are no gaps in front of him, or feel he may be reprimanded because he is a rookie and because Belichick is the ultimate decision maker. Well, you know, you're a big running back, Andy. Why don't you explain a little bit about how the instincts have to combine with the plan?
Well, I'd say yes and no.
Some would call him a little running back.
Yeah, that guy from Ireland. I have a big head and a little body.
wee little body.
The answer is yes and no. I mean, you as a running back, they give you the natural ability. I mean, to take your natural ability and turn it into a play. But some of the criticism on Maroney's actually been that he's done that a little too often, sort of danced around looking for the big play at times in some of these games where he hasn't had the real success. So I think that's something he has to be careful on. If you are going to err on one side, err on the side of following your fullback,
yeah,
going where the blocking calls
you
to go.
But I just think that if you're a running back and you know that in the next series you're going to be back on the field, you don't look for it as much. You're willing to just take what's in front of you.
That
you know
be.
That you're not going to be back on the
you're
the field.
Forcing yourself to
but
try to make a big
you want to make every play.
It was also the criticism on him in college.
Okay.
And he got 40 carries a game in college. So It might be, you know, yeah. Every guy has a certain flaw to his game at some point that you refine when you get to the pro level.
I say he got 40 carries a game in college. I say there's a couple of games he did. He shared time. Barber and Russell both ran for 1,000 yards.
He didn't really share time as a senior. He was the main guy.
He was more the main guy, but the other guy still had 1,100 yards rushing.
But he didn't share carries. He was the guy. He didn't worry about when he was getting on the field again if he didn't go 80 yards on a play, like Fred's talking about. He was the guy.
Okay.
I see Gary. Gary's answering phones and moving around. I'm very excited.
Don't take time to play a sound bite. Come on, go get the food.
What a moron. Hey, did you guys see that email? There's women here who love me now. You see that email? I got groupies.
I read it.
Women love you.
Men love me. Women love me. Old people love me. Everyone loves me. I got groupies now.
Men aren't supposed to love you. That's the one you got to watch.
Rocky,
I read
moron.
It. Yeah, but men really do love you. That's the problem.
Isn't it ladies love me, guys adore me, even the ones that never saw me?
Yeah, no, but it's supposed to be Ric Flair. It's supposed to be men want to be with me, women want to be with me. Trouble is, men want to be with you.
You're about to eat a chicken.
No, the line he gave was Rocky. The line I just gave was from Ric Flair.
And you're about to eat a chicken parm sandwich.
Rocky? I'm sure Rocky stole it. He stole pretty much everything in that entire movie.
I think Rocky was first. From Ric Flair?
Ric Flair's pretty old.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
In the 70s?
He's pretty old now.
Yeah, he was in the 70s. I don't know if it was before Rocky, though.
And if you pay attention to that movie, most of the stuff is based on stuff he clearly saw going on around him in the world.
And let's not forget the time the guy wrote in and said that he saw the TV show and he thought Andy was the best looking out of the four of us, and that why do we make fun of Andy?
Well, that guy was clearly just, you know, a casual observer. He didn't say he wanted to bend me over a table and pants me.
I got female fans who are interested in me. I don't know what else to tell you, Andy.
But you have one female fan, and we've had more male fans. There was a guy who wanted you as a chicken parm sub. Today we're getting chicken parm subs. He wanted to eat you like a chicken parm sub.
And I want you to think of me when you're eating it.
No, don't ruin it for me there.
He's got to take it down the road.
And we'll be back.
All right.
Wait, get in the other room.
I'm going to read this one more email before we go. And this is James in Roanoke Rapids. Since you're trying to keep track of how many experts are picking what, here's what I found. 6 NFL experts for the USA Today. 6 NFL experts in USA Today. Here's 3 more. Jarrett Bell, Larry Weissman, and Jeff Zilgit. I don't know how to pronounce that name. Have predicted a Colts win.
Weissman. Traitor.
I don't even know these.
Just
guys.
So you know, that means that 3 others must have picked the Patriots.
3-3.
We'll ignore those. Jarrett Bell even predicted the final score to be 31-17. Also heard Jeff Fisher on Sirius NFL Radio predict a Colts win. The only reason being, Tom?
He hates the Patriots.
They are due.
Oh. Yeah, but they're also in the same division,
the
so
Colts
you
are due.
Respect,
but
right?
You think Bill Belichick would go online saying Miami will win?
Belichick would never say
Jeff Fisher probably has some ill feelings from the last time those two teams met a couple weeks ago.
We got a lot more emails to get to, and we will after we feed our fat faces.
Breaks the tackle, drives to the field, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the 3-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly...
My hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Breaks the tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
You guys are ass. Eat your jackals.
Wow.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. I'm filling in for Paul here because his mouth is full. But got a big props
for once
to
it wasn't.
Big props to Score 790 for giving us Brian Morey.
You're so full of
it. That's our favorite now sports radio station, but that could change if the other two decide to deliver food.
It could change if anybody sends us food.
So
actually, ESPN 890 is my favorite.
Well, they don't send us food. So,
I don't care.
So we like
still
the Score.
They send me a paycheck.
We like 790.
Well, I like them.
What's the drive that the Brian show is with Scott Kardashian?
I have no idea.
I think it's called The Drive. No, what? No, that's
Sports Beat.
Sports Beat?
Isn't it Sports Beat, Paul? Sports.
I know it's on 790 AM in the Providence
area. And 99.7. By the way, they're
99.7 FM.
It used to be. I think it still is. But they might. I believe they're a flagship station, but they're part of the Patriots Rock Radio Network for games, because I know they play the pregame show, the BCN
right.
pregame show.
Right, they are.
But they're getting kind of screwed, I think, this week, because 103.7, which is WEEI, is also airing the...
Well, it's because it's a national aired game.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're kind of getting hosed out of a Patriots game.
Yeah, there. a little bit. But that's good. So if you're in the Providence area, listen to Brian Morey and Scott Kardashian on 790 AM.
Or you can listen to Andy Hart and Michael Felger, ESPN 890. I like to promote the people who still work here.
Well, the difference is that the two broadcast areas don't really overlap because both stations
that's
are a
true.
Bit minor.
Never promote me, Tom. I still work here.
Huh?
Paul, I
promote
you
all the time.
I can't go over the list of all the things that you do.
Plus, you don't need promoting anymore. You have a cult following. We don't need to promote you.
Is that what you call it? Boy, because I'll tell you, my cult was not happy with me yesterday.
You have a following.
Were you getting hit at a fledgling radio station?
Why were they attacking you? You're picking the Patriots.
Well, last week I picked San Diego.
Yeah. Oh, so then now they were going after you?
See, that's the part I don't get. Like, San Diego obviously is the... one of the top two or three teams in football. Patriots didn't play a good game. San Diego had a ton of chances. So people picked San Diego. Okay, understandable. Now Patriot fans call up, like, gloating for some reason, like, well, see. Well, see, your team was lucky. They were fortunate to win that game. If Tom Brady throws two interceptions instead of three, they don't win that game most likely. So why are you calling up gloating? I don't understand New England fans. If any of you fans can ever email me or call me or explain to me what it goes on around here, please do so, because I'm lost.
Fred,
don't get it.
Now that we're talking about radio and TV and all that, have you noticed people starting to watch the New England Cable News show? We're getting the high ratings, and they're starting to bring it up. Someone called in yesterday and called us a bunch of fruitcakes on Paul's appearance on EEI.
Fruitcakes?
Well, they didn't like the end of the show, apparently, where we were, you know, Tom went on his Manning sucks, Archie sucked, Eli sucked, everybody sucked. I picked a Super Bowl score instead of the score of this game.
Just so you know, that seemed to be the root of the evil.
So wait a minute. So you picked, Paul picked the Chargers, and they called in and yelled at him.
Right.
You picked the Patriots, and they called in and yelled about you.
I picked the Patriots this week.
No.
I think basically this week was all about the fact that we all picked the Patriots, and I think that he's a little worried about that.
Yeah, because that's going to matter on Sunday.
But more importantly, people are watching.
Listen, everybody, put away your stupid lucky T-shirts and your funny little hats that you wear
your
on game
Moose
day.
Moose Johnson jerseys.
Yeah, and stop listening to us, because it doesn't matter. Yeah, how the Moose Johnson jersey worked out for you?
You were peeling it off in the fourth quarter. Third, maybe.
It doesn't matter. Ask Bill. The two teams that arrive on Sunday will decide the game. We have nothing to do with that.
Luckily,
if they lose, it's not going to matter what we said.
Luckily, Patriots fans aren't dumb enough to get the team logo tattooed on them.
I'm not so sure about that. I've seen some of them.
Well, I actually know several people that have Patriots tattoos.
You really do?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Not personal friends of mine, but people that we've been emailed and
photos
of Patriots
fans. Oh, I thought you
meant,
like, your friends.
No.
Because I didn't know rich people like you in your social circles got tattoos of team logos on their arms.
Oh, Fred wasn't always rich.
Keep perpetuating the myth.
No, you are rich. You may not have always been rich, but...
What is your definition of rich?
You.
That you can pay your bills? Is that rich?
Definition one, period. One who can buy a $1,200 vacuum is rich.
Okay. Then I guess I'm rich.
You are.
$1,200 vacuum?
I do.
He really does. This is no joke.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
This is where he gets it's a great vacuum. I'm never going to have to buy another vacuum.
It's true.
Paul's
mouth is full.
I said nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you were back
like
in the host.
About to.
Right, I thought you were back in the host role. And we looked over.
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
But again, thanks to Brian Morey for some food.
So who else is hosting on that? We got Zolak. We got Morey.
Zolak.
Now
Andy
we need
Gresh.
Either Gresh or Cordishi next week if they want to be our favorite score personality.
Let me tell you, if Gresh came through, I think that would be a good feast.
He knows his food.
Andy Gresh,
I say he sends it to himself and eats it.
Andy Gresh, I think he knows a little something about food.
He can eat. I remember listening to him talk about the fact that he said when he gets cereal and he's looking for a big breakfast, the box is a single bowl. He uses like a cake batter bowl. He pours the box in, pours milk on, and eats it.
That's unbelievable.
That's disgusting. Because cereal's not even that good. I mean, cereal's not that I want to overeat on. It's not.
Yeah,
it's just cereal.
All right, let's get back to some football and some emails, Paul.
A lot of emails, Fred. A lot of emails. He says, maybe you guys, well, I don't know who this
says?
Is. I don't know who this is. I'll get back to that in a second. Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. It's TG.
TG
and NJ.
And NJ.
he says, maybe you guys are onto something with this deal with the devil thing. Think about it. The tuck rule, the snow kick, the bad kick in Super Bowl 38.
We have thought about it. That's why we have that idea.
Donovan McNabb getting sick in Super Bowl 39, losing key players and still making the playoffs with guys off the street. The Chargers game last week, the only anomaly is last year's playoff game with Denver.
Yeah, but it makes them even greater because they lose and they come back without all these players. See, it adds to the legend.
It's the drama.
You can't just win 10 in a row. That's not part of the deal.
We also have a theory that every once in a while the devil takes the day off and thinks, you guys can't do it one time on your own?
Besides, the devil probably had that Ben Watson. He probably gave him a little juice.
Right.
And that was supposed to be a fumble, and the devil's up there going, you got to be kidding me, refs. That thing went out of the end zone.
All right.
We've put actually a lot of thought into this, just so you know. Except Fred. Notice he's not partaking.
He says, I think there's more pressure on Manning than anybody in the upcoming AFC Championship game. He's got this far in the playoffs despite his own performance. He's got the home field dome. Seems his defense is back on track. Could be an illusion. He's got his nemesis's clutch kicker. His nemesis's team seems vulnerable with age and suspect receiving core. Like Grogan said, everything seems to be in place for him to win. If the Patriots win this and then go off to win the Super Bowl, I think we'll have to shave BB's head and check for horns. On the highway to hell, or maybe that's the turnpike to hell. TG and NJ.
Isn't that a song?
Mm-hmm. Tell you, that New Jersey turnpike certainly is the highway to hell. Especially around Elizabeth. Man, that smells. You got all those factories. And
didn't we have an Elizabeth email in earlier?
Yeah, Sawyer's wife.
Don't offend her.
Well, let's see. Phil is in Austin. He says, the Patriots... Yeah. Have a supposedly deep roster, have a supposedly good special teams coach, and usually dress four backup linebackers, which are your core special teams players. Despite all this, their kick and punt coverage teams are in the bottom half of the league. Any thoughts on why this is?
That's the second year in a row for it, so I don't know. Time for a new coach.
I know it's something, kick coverage in particular, is something that's bothered Bill all year.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked about that periodically throughout the year.
Well, I mean, if you just want to look at special teams, they've been hit with injuries in that area as well. Don Davis, Mel Mitchell was on IR. To Bucky Jones, I thought was going to contribute there, and those guys are gone. And they haven't really replaced those kind of coverage guys.
Tom, you mentioned the coach.
Bill
praises Brad Seeley as much as anyone. Every time because this has happened, it seems like 2-3 years now, they'll struggle in one area or the other, and fans really get on the Brad Seeley sucks bandwagon, and Bill just comes to his defense. I mean, he's had success, not just here, he had success in Carolina.
I think if you look at how Gostkowski's performed, I think a lot of that has to do with the practice that and attention that Seeley's given him.
I'm sure it does, but coverage and the other aspects are part of the whole job,
too. It's tough. It's hard to get everything going at once.
And Bill has talked a lot about how that's a great job in some ways, but it's a tough job because you don't always know who you're working with, who your active guys are. And I think he tries to help him in that area, but it's still sort of injuries creep up, as you said, to some of your core guys. All of a sudden, now you're working with undrafted rookies that maybe you thought were going to be Mel Mitchell to Bucky Jones.
Yep.
You know what I always felt was important, too? I would take, the time to either draft or sign or a return guy, like your Wes Welker.
I think those
Devin
guys.
Hester.
I think those guys are a great value to your team. It seems like the Patriots are kind of always putting, you know, your Kevin Falks,
right.
your Lawrence. And I know Maroney and Hobbs have done well at it, but they also do so many other things with offense and defense. I like those guys who are those good return guys. Your Mike Nelms of the world.
But
I love those
Mike
guys.
Nelms. But I think the issue is so many of those guys that have had success league wide aren't drafted guys. They're the freaking guy who was delivering beer for UPS or whatever.
They're not easy to find.
I mean, Dante Hall, who's an NFL Europe guy,
We talked at the combine to Skylar Green, who we thought was going to be that kind of guy, and he got caught. And
right. So, I think the really great, I mean, Hester obviously is a great one, you know, whether we thought that he was going to be or not. He's a great one, and he was drafted.
You didn't like him, Andy. I don't know what your problem is.
That was very well done
but
right there.
I actually also, I'm doing a story this week for the paper. I think the special teams, a lot of the key roles, played a key role last week. The punter had a pretty good game.
Yep.
The holder, the kicker, the snapper, which two of the three are new. They got it down when they had to.
You mean the holding's important?
Suddenly when he's writing about the special teams, the holder's important job.
You could have that mishap that they had out in Dallas.
Right. What was that?
Happened in Cincinnati, too.
Michael is in Madison, Wisconsin. Michael, Fred, you'll know, is maybe our original emailer.
Michael Tollefson. From way back in the 90s.
From way back in the day. Are you not concerned at all about the Colts' passing offense and the Patriots' secondary?
Yes.
Do you seriously think the Patriots can stop or even manage to slow down the Colts' offense this time around? The last two outings against them have not been good, and that was at home. Personally, as much as I want to be wrong, I just don't see how they can match up and stop the Colts' passing game, and the Patriots' offense is just not able to win in a shootout, in my opinion, with their lack of quality wide receivers and tight ends who do not perform consistently, and the supposed top-notch tight end dropping balls regularly.
Hey, let me tell you something. If the Patriots go into that locker room at halftime with a lead, and the Colts have less than 10 points, it's over, because Marvin Harrison has been a little bit disgruntled all year with what's going on, and it's going to snowball.
Because the score is going to be 27-3.
Well, I don't care. If it's 10-7 Patriots at halftime, it's over. It's over.
Well, I think Manning's going to have a good game.
I would agree with that, but if it's 27-24 Patriots, I don't think it's over.
No, I said if the Colts have less than 10 points.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
But I think Manning's going to have a good game. Like I said, I think they'll move the ball, but I think it's going to be in the red zone where they struggled. I just remember that game the last time they played. It seemed like once they got in that 15, inside the 15, where they had to run it, I'm not sold on a dying Rhodes running the ball against the Patriots inside like the 10 and 5 yard line. I think that's where they stop them.
Exactly.
It's hard to.
I'm very impressed with Fred in the other chair.
It's hard to disagree with that.
He is really delivering today. I'm being serious now. It's clearly we made fun of you all these years for not, you know, having feelings and not analyzing. It was just because you spent too much time reading ahead on
you
the emails.
You want to switch roles and I'll be like the buffoon host from now on and.
No, I'm doing that today.
See, I was paying you a compliment. That's a shot.
Host.
That's a shot right there from Tom Casale.
I'm giving you a compliment. Like,
add that to his review.
You're playing a role when you're in that chair. Then when we put you in the real chair, you know, you're being one of us.
I'm still a buffoon.
Fred likes being the buffoon. I think you're bringing some expert analysis over there, Fred. Paul's not quite ready for the host role.
John is in Grand Junction. I'm trying to be Fred, like, to completely ignore the conversation and go on to the email.
And then you have to add a right every once in a while. When somebody makes a point that you don't agree with,
right.
You say, right, right.
I'll
right. Next up, Eli.
I'll do my combination, Fred, Andy. Right.
And then the look.
This is radio, Paul.
John is in Grand Junction. We're just entertaining ourselves here anyway. Let's call it spade a spade.
John
is in Grand Junction,
listeners.
Colorado here. It says, isn't it time that Borges got called out on this prediction business? He picks the Colts on Nesson, then in his MSNBC.com article. he say, I'll really do Fred. There is absolutely no way the Colts can win.
No, he didn't.
All Borges cares about is garnering readership. MSNBC.com.
No, because we just argued with him.
Yeah,
live
we
and in person.
Room.
And we know that he doesn't think the Colts are better than the Patriots.
He wrote a story that the Colts can't win?
Evidently.
I got to see this.
Oh, come on.
It was either the back of the leg.
Does everybody do this now?
I told you that's what everybody does.
I can't make fun of Tom anymore.
Pay attention on Sunday when everybody is picking the Patriots, because the opposite happened last week.
But that stinks for the fans and for readers. I mean...
You know what it doesn't stink for? All these people that are making a lot more money than me by just telling people what they want to hear.
What kind of integrity
is that? What are they, cow services all of a sudden?
Yeah.
They give one side of the country one pick and the other side the other pick?
That is ridiculous.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I call one of those 1-800 numbers.
It's not the same 1-800 number that people in Oregon have. It's a different 1-800 number. They give out both sides. That way they can say they won the game.
Right. So at least they know they get half their audience back the next week.
Wow. I learn some every day on this show.
Right. Alex is next up. He has a subject line. Felger sucks.
I agree.
I don't know who's in
Send
Friday
emails
with Felger.
To ESPN Radio and tell them that the Kasalian Hart Show should take over for the Felger in the afternoon show.
We need
show.
You. Come on.
I don't know who's in Friday with Felger, but just in case any of you wants to take a shot at him, here's what he predicted would happen Sunday. The Patriots will stop Tomlinson, but they will lose. And if the game is close, my money is on San Diego.
So it was the exact opposite. They didn't stop Tomlinson, and they won.
And it was close,
and
the Patriots
close
won. And
it was close,
the
Patriots lost, which anybody who thought
Why would
it was
he
a close game
ever say that.
I don't understand that.
He really
he
is
picked,
having a mental breakdown.
He picked
breakdown.
31-20 in the paper, so I don't know. Josh in Jacksonville, the people on Cold Pizza are saying that Tom Brady is overrated. They are saying that Adam Vinatieri should get most of the credit for all the Pat's success. Do you guys agree?
I agree. Well, he made Tom Brady a winner, just like he's going to make Peyton Manning a winner.
I would say the opposite. I'd say that Brady put Vinatieri in the spot to become the legend that he is.
Brady's the best player.
He put him in that
NFL.
Great spot for that 48-yard field goal, whatever the hell it was, in a freaking blizzard.
Hey, John Madden wanted to sit on the ball and
that
go into overtime.
That was his first year as a starter.
John Madden wasn't even there.
That was his first year as a starter.
No, I know.
Anyway.
I mean, he was thinking, okay,
well, but
we'll
he didn't put him in position for a chip shot. The guy had to kick it through a blizzard. He tried to do his best to give the wave away by fumbling.
But no one's going to argue that that wasn't one hell of a kick. I'm just saying the guy's pretty good.
I'm saying let's play the little game where we erase Adam Vinatieri and subtract all those three-point field goals and see how many trophies you got lined
but
up in that trophy.
You're
operating under the assumption that no one else could have made
right.
the kick.
They're still have a kicker.
I'm saying no one makes that
and
kick.
And you're under the assumption
I'll
that
say
I'm
no
arguing
one made
that
the
Adam Vinatieri isn't important. What? I think he was. You're thinking I'm arguing that I'm saying Adam Vinatieri isn't important. I think he was very important. But if you ask me which one would I rather have, I'm picking Tom Brady.
Which one would you rather have, Andy?
Tom Brady.
Okay, then.
I'm just trying to have a little fun.
It's Andy arguing for the sake of arguing. That's what he
does. Just having a little fun.
Hey,
he's
Paul.
He's the kid at like the nursery school taking the blocks from everybody.
You know what Adam Vinatieri is?
What?
Dave Roberts. Red Sox can't win without that steal. But do I think Dave Roberts was like... The guy that carried that team
Adam,
to a World Series?
Analogy.
Adam Vinatieri is far more important to the
that's
Patriots'
one play.
Success.
That's one play.
I would
that a championship
like
was
Manny
built
Rivera
on.
That's like saying
Dave Ortiz.
Dave Thomas is more like, I mean, Dave Roberts is more like Dave Thomas recovering that fumble.
But they didn't win a title. I was trying to compare titles.
I'm just saying. You can't,
I'm saying if
bad analogy.
The entire title was
I
built on
friend.
A blizzard.
David Patton catching that pass in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have had that chance if... Well, Adam Vinatieri hadn't kicked one in a blizzard.
If Tom Brady was never born, you can keep going back as far
if
as you
Mo
want.
Mo Lewis was never
Paul,
born.
Go.
We might
Mo
not
Lewis
be here
right
never
now.
Born.
They might have won five in a row. Who knows?
Right.
Anyway, Paul, Fred, and Tom, you can figure out which name was missing there. You're doing a great job considering you're with a jackass.
Who's this, Patty?
The last day I heard an Irish guy making fun of Andy's big head.
Well, we already got over that. We thought that was the one Irish guy who was sober, but he was clearly a drunk just like
I
you, Patty.
I have to say that was hilarious. I would just like to ask Andy, do you have an extremely large head or just an average head on a tiny little body?
An extremely
large
head.
In every way that
head.
You can
That's
think
Patty
of it, he has
Ireland.
A big head.
I have a massive head. It's where my mom tells me I keep all my brains.
Let's see.
I got a feeling your brains are somewhere else. You're sitting on them.
Let's see. John says, right.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show with host Paul Perillo.
Well, I don't ever know when you guys are done. I keep stepping
when there's
all over
like
you.
4 seconds of dead air, it means we're done.
Do you know how many times I've waited till you guys have stopped talking, then started talking, and you guys weren't done?
And he makes fun of me. Boy.
Well, Fred, at least I can read the emails.
Wow.
He's just swinging at everybody right now.
Speaking
Ball's
of which,
in a corner swinging.
Speaking
John
of which,
Rook,
John
watch
Rook
out.
In the house. John says, every time I point out that Tom's gayness, his retort is to act tough. And he wants to
homophobe.
Fight. He wants to fight for top position on his favorite table.
Protests too much.
Let me tell you something, Tom. I'm not one of your butt buddies who enjoys a game of hide the sausage.
Wow.
If you ever find me waiting outside Gillette Stadium, it will be for a real fight, and the only table you'll see afterward will be the one you'll wake up on in the ER.
Here we go.
Come
here
on,
we
bring
go.
It. Bring it.
Here we go.
You got another internet tough guy. Not only will I beat your ass, I'll screw your wife in front of you when I'm done. How do you like that? So come with it. Come with it. Anytime you're ready, my friend.
Soon we'll have no listeners.
One,
she can't even read.
Oh, boy.
One other thing. In order to say, you know what, properly, you have to touch your tongue to the roof of your mouth. But you know what?
I don't want to tell you where I'm going to touch my tongue.
Well, I can't.
She better be pretty here. I'm going to slap her when I'm done.
Just so you know, I can't read the rest of that email.
You did join Dick for a little while.
Just make sure when you come, you bring your wife, because she'll be doing the same thing.
Why don't you come to my apartment tonight and show what a mirror man looks like?
I can only imagine where that email went if you were willing to read the rest of it.
Save that for later.
You're a popular guy today, huh, Tom?
Yeah, that guy's got nothing. Wow. He'll never show up. Come up to the desk and ask for Tom Casale. I'll walk out. We'll go outside, just me and you. One of us will come back. It will be me. If it's not, I'll give you $200 cash. End of story.
Just 200. When did you come up with that figure?
200.
That's what's in my wallet.
John, just so you know, you're going to have plenty of emails.
Why do you have 200 bucks in your wallet?
I went to the bank.
I say the four of us jump him and we take his 200 bucks.
I don't got my wallet on me.
Ben is in Boxborough. Just a quick email in between classes here at school. Do you think that Belichick facing an opponent twice in the season factor may come into play more than people expect here? I'm having trouble thinking of how they're going to come out with an offensive game plan, but after watching what Matt Light did to Sean Merriman, I assume they'll just spread them out like always, with Brady having a little more time in the pocket to possibly throw deep. And by the way, Troy Brown and Tom Casale are my heroes.
There you go. See, now, finally we're back to the normal emails, John. You know what I mean?
I love it. That's great. What a lightning rod you are.
another one. This is Ireland checking in.
Nice.
How do you guys think the Patriots are going to play the Colts receivers? Do you think the defensive backs will play aggressive and risk penalties, or do you think they will give them some cushion in order to prevent the big play? Screw Andy. Just kidding. I actually enjoy hearing Andy bash Ireland. It's funny.
Nice. Suck on a potato, you drunk.
Will we see them?
That's Owen in Belfast, Ireland.
Will we see them giving up some space? And
I think so.
Yeah. They're not good enough to get in their mugs every play. They might mix it up and try to keep them off.
But weren't the Patriots more successful in previous games against the Colts by playing press defense?
When they had Ty Law and when Rodney Harrison was the guy pushing them off the line and then handing them off to
Ellis Hobbs in Reggie Wayne's mug.
You're probably right.
They not good news.
And the thing with the Colts is Manning identifies that right away and calls it at the line, and it's a touchdown.
Which really lends support to the idea that the Colts will get yards. But once they get close,
kick
they'll,
field goal.
They'll have
that's
to,
the key.
No one's saying their offense is like terrible and they're not going to move the ball, and they're just, can they put up points? Can they put it in the end zone? That's the question here with this Patriots defense.
All right.
Let's finish up here with one more from Alex. I waited till you guys. What did I do on that one? I waited till you guys were done, and then I read the next email.
Laughing. They're in awe of your hosting ability.
We are.
I feel your pain, Fred.
I
with him.
It's not
dealing with Andy is not an easy chore.
It's a
on
big
your
chair.
Part. Well, I don't think that. I don't think any it's monkey gets in the chair, but see, you had to open that one up.
All right.
Anyway, the Patriots will win for the following reasons, says Alex. They do not bang their heads into a wall, ever. If it's not working, the Patriots are going to change it. Patriots have the best situational awareness of any team remaining in the playoffs. When something unusual or unique happens on the field, the Patriots are most often ready to react, as illustrated by about a dozen plays in the San Diego game. I believe that the Pats are in full FU mode. They're speaking quietly, calmly, and saying the right things, but there is something else there that is unexplainable. It's a touch of serial killer quiet to them. I also believe that the secondary is better than it has been in several years. Asante could just play for one-year contracts for the rest of his career. He will be a surefire Hall of Famer by the end of his career. That guy is awesome as a mercenary, and that's Alex and Somerville.
Well, I know that's the reaction that he's going to free agent year, but he's also a fourth-year player. This is when he's supposed to be playing his best football. He's supposed to be evolving into what he is as a pro.
I kind of missed that one. Did they say Samuel was a sure Fire Hall of Famer?
Yeah. He said if he was playing for a one-year contract every year, he'd be a surefire. He's alluding to the fact that he's only doing this because of the money, and he'll somehow drop back. I think you can say that about some people, but I just don't think that's him. I mean, he's in the fourth year. Shouldn't he be kind of hitting his stride here?
You would think so. And I think that's what he's doing. But,
right.
You know.
Now, I'm not saying
he's going to be able to get some big money from somebody somewhere. It's just not coming from here.
Right. Well, yeah. But to me, 11 picks is – there's some quirkiness to it as well. There's holding on to the ball when you get the chance.
Sure.
There's a lot of circumstantial. I think you can have a great year
it's
and
like
have
20
two picks.
Sacks.
Yeah.
You know, Strahan didn't get 22 sacks every year.
Right.
He usually
right.
had around 12.
Right.
12 or 13.
Yeah, and that's generally – it's same thing with running backs. If you're a great running back, you have 15. And then every once in a while, you have 18, 19, 2,000. I think it's funny these guys have 1,800 and go, I'm going 2,200 next year.
Yeah.
No, you're not, because you just had your
right.
good
just
year,
had
your extra.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the big years are an anomaly. That's
yeah.
an anomaly, I should say. Yes.
Yeah.
That's more of the exception rather than the rule.
I want to sign off before we leave, John, for Patriots Playbook. Kyle, our trusty intern, has actually brought us some news. Rodney Harrison was out on the practice field today, sitting as far away from the media as possible with the offensive lineman rather than where he usually does his stretching next to Asante Samuel and Chad Scott. So he was actually out there.
So they're taking this charade to high levels.
I believe it's that's what I believe
I don't
it
think
is.
He's playing.
I don't think so either.
I believe it's great theater, nevertheless.
It is good theater.
Well, they're trying, I think they're trying to make sure that the Colts waste time
worrying about something.
I think they would have been preparing for him anyway, but I think they want to make sure that they do.
But if there's any team that might be susceptible to a little mind game, everybody assumes it's Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison and the Colts, and you just talked about they'd be better suited to bang him around if he's out there. So they're just trying to play on that factor and see if they can get a little minor advantage.
I would agree. Okay. I would agree with that.
So he's also going to McDonald's. Anybody want a burger?
Such an idiot.
Do you think, however, though, that should he not play this week and the Patriots win, that he would come back for the Super Bowl at this stage of the game?
I think he would.
Maybe.
I think he'll try.
With an extra week to rest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extra two?
Well,
week
off.
That was the whole idea of not
extra week off.
Putting him on IR to keep him.
Yeah, because if you get to the Super Bowl, you have a shot.
Right.
But I still sort of trust the Jim Trotter report that
I do too.
His season's over.
I think that if they felt like they absolutely had to have a replacement, he would have been put on IR.
So then why is he out there if his season's over?
Well, Sean Boobin, can't wait to get him on the team. You know, who are you going to get now? Like, if there's a slight chance, Fred, that he may be ready. Maybe that's why they keep him around instead of activating Sean Boobin.
But he could also make it a worse injury, no?
Well, it didn't say he was doing anything. It said he was sitting with offensive linemen.
Yeah, he wasn't. Well,
that'd be part of the charade
in the workout, right?
Right.
Now, maybe we're all wrong, Fred. Maybe he's going to try to give it a go.
He clearly recovers fast.
Yeah.
I mean, we learned that from the knee injury and being ready for training camp and getting out there. So, you know, he clearly has some sort of advantage in recovering from things.
I'll be surprised, but not stunned. I mean, I've seen him come back quickly in the past, quicker than we thought in the past. So,
all right.
What do you got today, John?
Well, we will probably clean up some emails. We'll
Have a lot.
We'll welcome others to email with their score predictions for today,
unless you're in Ireland.
Russell S. Baxter from ESPN will be joining us, and we will, believe me, we will break down both the AFC and NFC championship games.
John, just a quick opinion.
Yes.
Off the top of your head.
Yes.
Pressure. National media. Forget about Indianapolis. Forget about New England. Mm. National media types.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Majority are picking who?
Colts.
Okay. I agree. And I'm
Colts.
Shocked.
Well, that's I think, Fred, honestly, I think that's because there are a lot of people, like you see some of the Page 2 columnists on ESPN.com, who are saying the Patriots again. Oh, no, please, God, don't let it be. I think that's a pervading fear.
Yeah, but
you shouldn't pick a game
based on analysis.
No,
you shouldn't.
Still picking the Colts, and I can't believe that.
Well, I know that Len Pascarelli, ESPN.com, is all over the Colts. He's all over them. And for no other reason other than the fact that he says they're due.
Well, but that's crazy.
That's mad.
Well, I guarantee Chris Mortensen will balance it out by picking the
pay
Patriots.
Pay me his salary,
he hates the Colts,
and I'll say that.
I know.
That'll be my analysis. They're due.
Yep.
Here, give me my check.
All I can say is, you know,
sort of how
they line up on Sunday.
I was going to say, he won a whole
Colts lose the game is wrong. It's his credibility that's on the line as a reporter.
Yeah, but no one remembers.
Patriots
of course
radio,
they don't.
For crying out loud.
I'm just teasing you. Relax. All right, John, we got plenty of emails for you here.
You don't take it seriously?
All right.
Please disregard any questions that are telling Tom to go do the anatomically impossible. We will be back tomorrow. Tom and Fred will be with you. Stay tuned for John Rook and Patriots Playbook.